about. So easy. You gotta put it in the
perspective. But America has always been best when she is lying down with her back on the mat. And the crowd has given the final count. If only Washington will get out of the way on this journey of less talk and more action.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Let's party like beer mugs, fat and stupid.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no. There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
K-R-O-Q, yeah. I like to listen to the K-R-O-Q, yeah.
I don't care for modern music. It's the devil's work, if you ask me.
Earl Swan, you'll spoon me to death.
And now,
I just want to use my muscles and my mind and open up shop right here and be your number one guy using my muscles and my mind.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 27th of April.
Hey, I had a question. Does Kevin still work there? I mean, I feel like he just drops him wherever he wants. I want that job. Are you guys hiring?
Wow. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Monkey time.
I'm thinking of trying out just Wednesdays. What do you guys think of that?
Well, I mean,
it's an odd choice, but, like,
you know,
I mean,
it does give you that 6-day weekend you've been looking for.
Right.
Just work on
Wednesdays. Time to catch up after the weekend, and then you sort of have another day to sort of get ready, and then you come in only on Wednesday, but then you're exhausted.
So yeah, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Thank you, Bean.
That sounds like a pretty good plan.
Thank you.
Really? And you're pretty current with all your TV shows, I would imagine.
I am not, no.
Really? You're still behind? So now you're going to have to work a half day on Wednesdays?
Exactly.
There's no way you'd be here for the whole day if you still got you're behind on your TV shows.
Bean sees sickness as watching TV. I guess.
It's the last thing I want to do when I'm sick.
It just, you feel so crappy. I don't want to watch TV.
Really? If you're home sick in bed, you don't watch TV?
Uh-uh.
I don't think
no.
that would be the
No.
The thing.
I mean, not never, but I certainly wouldn't use it interchangeably like you do. Sick equals watching TV.
Yeah.
I have never had a TV in my bedroom, ever.
Okay.
Because there's, you know, so much banging. You don't take away from that. Look, I'm a multitasker as good as the next guy.
Bean's autobiography is so much banging. That's the name of that.
That's the name of it. Yeah, and I understand from what I know from talking to humans that is unusual to not have a television in the bedroom. I guess that's a pretty common place for people to watch TV.
They say not to have a television in your bedroom.
How come?
Correct. I don't have one either.
The bedroom should be about just sleeping. That is your sanctuary. Once you get in there, sleep.
What about so much banging?
Banging as well. Sorry, I apologize.
I mean, you got to give Bean something.
Yeah.
But don't a lot of people watch TV to go to sleep? They put something on to go to sleep? I mean, I do that with radio and with music, but a lot of people, they fall asleep to the TV, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But
it's not in my room, so when I'm laying in there, it's just I hate everyone. I hate everything. I hate myself.
When you're trying to go to sleep, you mean?
No, just when I'm sick and I'm staying home.
Right.
Instead of watching TV, I just am angry at the world.
Well, I think that's a healthy policy.
Thank you.
To be angry.
It just makes me mad. There's stuff to be done. There's stuff to be done. There's things to do.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And instead, you just have to lay there like an ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just angers me.
All right.
Back to you.
Well, we got a
much banging.
We got a big show today, but I want to start with two very brief stories. You know, yesterday, Kevin, we discussed at great length a story about a guy who's arrested in Oregon for he stole a bunch of stuff from a pet store and bought hookers and then gave one of the hookers a monkey as a tip. And
is that acceptable?
She took it. She took the monkey.
All right.
As a tip. What was the monkey's name, Allie? Do you remember?
Gooey.
It was Gooey, right?
Yeah.
It was,
oh, no.
Sure
about Gooey, the little bush
sure
baby
was.
Monkey.
Nope.
And that was an animal story in the news. And today I have two more animal stories in the news, both of which are remarkable, and both of them involve animals attacking humans. And I've long wondered if there's going to be some sort of signal in the animal kingdom, and, you know, it's going to be go time, and we're doomed
and
because
the
there are a lot more
happens?
Of them.
Yeah.
What's that?
The uprising happens?
Yes, that's what I'm worried about,
is
the uprising.
And then all of a sudden?
Yes.
Like, maybe that's
the
signal?
That's the signal?
Maybe you just set the whole thing in motion by doing that.
Oh, God, I hope I didn't.
How do you take it back?
No?
Anyway, two stories. One is a guy working on a construction site in Sydney, Australia yesterday went into the porta potty, the loo, the portable loo there.
Mm-hmm. 21 years old. About an animal attacking in the porta potty.
No.
No good could come from this.
I know that it is everybody's biggest fear in the world that something is going to come up from out of the toilet, but it happened to him.
No.
It was a very poisonous redback spider, which is closely related to the black widow. Oh. It is distinguished by a long red stripe on its abdomen, and it bit him in the wiener.
Yay!
St. George Hospital confirmed that the 21-year-old man was bitten on the penis.
How do they know that's where the goods are?
The spiders. Probably
how
just
do they know?
The closest thing to where the spider was. That would maybe have been the lowest point. I don't know. The spider's bite caused severe pain, sweating, and nausea. And he did take himself to the hospital. And apparently redback spiders are well known in Australia. And there has been an anti-venom in effect since 1956. So they were able to treat him because of his speedy delivery to the hospital. And he is going to be fine. But you don't expect when you're using a bathroom anywhere that something is going to come up and bite you.
I'm glad it was a spider, though. Like
you're afraid it was a snake.
No, like a monkey or something.
A monkey.
I don't know.
Snakes are the ones to me that seem like they could most easily be in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I was fearful it wasn't one I thought it was.
You thought it was
gooey?
Here's thing,
you thought it was gooey.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it were gooey? And here's thing two, just briefly. This is a story out of Latvia, which apparently is a country. And this is a guy who was attacked by a beaver. He was walking down a local road when a beaver ran up from the bushes and bit him on the leg and knocked him to the ground. He tried to get up and run away, only to be bitten again. The beaver then stood guard, refusing to let him get up. In the words of the Latvian Public Broadcasting Report, the beaver was in effect holding the man named Sergei hostage.
So he would bite just to keep him in place, and then as long as he stayed in place, he was fine?
Yes. The beaver held him hostage. Yes.
Wow.
Sergei attempted to call police for help but was hung up on because they believed he was making a prank call.
Oh, Sergei.
Then he tried to call a friend who also believed him to be joking until he convinced his friend that he was in peril. En route to the scene, by the way, again, legitimate news site here. In fact, it even points out in the article, I know this story sounds too good to be true, but he has done the research on the story and apparently it did happen. En route to the scene, Sergei's friend was pulled over for speeding. Police were unconvinced by the friend's explanation that he was rushing to the aid of a stricken friend being held hostage by a beaver.
Well, what would you think if you're a cop? Yeah, right. That's a stupid story. Beavers don't do that.
Something you would make up, I guess. After subjecting the friend, a good Samaritan, to a breathalyzer test, the police reluctantly accompanied the friend to the scene of the crime, and there it is reported they found the man still at the mercy of, and here's my favorite part, the toothsome terrorist, who made clear his hostility to law enforcement and to all norms of civilized behavior. Animal welfare experts were called to come to take the beaver in, so apparently everybody is fine. I'm having trouble picturing why the beaver would just want the guy to lay there.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You didn't watch Zombievers then.
I did not see Zombievers.
Yeah, they are an awful toothy group.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So every time he tries to get up and leave, figuring, okay, you've had your way with me, you've won, I submit, the beaver would knock him right back down and bite him.
Son of a bitch. I think Allie just started that whole thing right now.
Yep, she started the chain.
Remember, you took it back.
My bad. Yeah.
So don't jog in beaver country in Latvia, and look out for the poisonous spiders if you're using the porta potty in Australia. Those are the takeaways from today's program.
I'd rather just be a prostitute and get gooey.
Okay, we're gonna need that. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
You're going to have to refresh my memory because apparently I don't give a crap.
Yes, Mark Maron.
Oh, sad I miss Mark Maron. I love him.
He said that yesterday.
Funny. Oh. Today on the program, we have another Trump date. I don't know if you guys saw last night, but I think Donald Trump may actually be a thing, you guys. He might actually
really?
Be. Yes.
But you're the guy who's been saying every step of the way that it's going to fall apart.
Right.
Okay.
I think it might not.
Why? Because he won five more states easily last night, you mean?
It's insane. Every day I go, hey, this can't be happening, and it is.
Well, he's over 50% popularity nationwide now.
All right. Good times. Also on the program today from The Flash, we have Tom Cavanaugh, who plays Dr. Harrison Wells.
Love him.
Such a great show. Brand new Internet Roundup. We have comedian Eddie Ift. And we've got your tickets for Captain America Civil War on IMAX. That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
It's almost Weenie Roast time, you guys. Friday at noon. Tickets going on sale. Get your details at KROQ.com and how to buy your tickets. Make sure you are signed up for the street team so you can join us on May 14th at Irvine Meadows, our final Weenie Roast at that venue before we burn that mother down.
The amazing Weenie Roast. Yay, Fiesta.
Yay, right. Fiesta.
I don't know if there's a Yay Fiesta involved this year. It might just be Weenie Roast, but
I'm
Rodney
not going,
will...
just no Yay Fiesta.
I don't blame you, man.
Well, there never was a Yay Fiesta.
There always was. You know, Rodney's been around a lot longer than you, Kevin.
Yeah, true. That's true.
You recognize.
He would know. Anyway, KROQ.com for all the details. Hope to see you there May 14th. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
Kevin, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you and Michael Strahan have settled things and you're not upset anymore.
I'm
that
not
he's
a part of that
and...
situation.
Oh, I just assumed you walked off in protest along with Kelly. I thought you were on Team Kelly.
I don't really watch that show.
Well, there's no other excuse than why you're missing 2 days out of every three at work, for God's sakes. It's not about Michael Strahan's situation.
It is Kelly Ripa-esque.
Well, it was Kevin James' birthday yesterday. So
that was our theory, yes.
We just imagined you on a Segway just banging into glass.
With
cake. That would have been a better day.
With some cake.
That would have been a better
day. But how is that different from most days at Kevin Spence?
Good point. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. The mystery of who is Becky with the good hair continues.
Yes, tell me.
It's Becky Gate 2016. Of course, ever since Beyonce released her Lemonade album and consequently video album, that hour-long special on HBO, speculation has run rampant. Who indeed is Becky with the good hair?
Ariana Grande?
Nope, I don't believe that's her. The rumors have been fast and furious. Of course, Rachel Roy still seems to be people's first choice. But now, speculation that singer-model Rita Ora may indeed be Becky with the good hair. The rock-solid evidence? Here you go. Rita was recently seen wearing the exact same red Gucci outfit Beyonce wore in the Formation video. Rita has also Snapchatted herself wearing a bra with lemons on it. Lemons? What do you do when someone gives you lemons?
Right.
You make lemonade.
Right.
And in that same photo, she was wearing a J necklace. A necklace with the initial J on it, which can only stand for Jay-Z.
That's the only thing Jay can stand for?
The solid evidence is leading many to believe that Rita Ora, in fact, is Becky with the good hair. I will keep you updated as more facts come to light about who is Becky with the good hair.
I thought the first girl came out and put on her Instagram or something.
Rachel Becky Roy said good hair don't care.
Right. Mm-hmm. So wasn't that the
end
of it?
But then she quickly took that down.
Oh. Then she said she respects marriage. And
right.
Not. Yes.
I see.
So it's not her. I still hold true that Becky, which tends to always be a white girl.
Right.
That's the lingo, Becky. And Becky with the good hair? Goop. Who's with me?
You think it's Gwyneth?
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've put all of this together.
Yep.
So that Jay-Z is sleeping with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah.
Well, they are friends.
Yeah. She's got great hair.
Okay.
She does look like a Becky.
Looks like a Becky.
It's kind of just straight. Her hair's just kind of straight and hangs down there.
It's better than Rita Ora's hair.
I don't know.
Out of all of them, Rachel Roy does have the best hair.
I still think it's Rachel Ray.
No, it's,
I still think that's true.
It's definitely not Rachel Ray.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio has a new girlfriend. This is going to come as a shock to you. She is a supermodel.
What?
I'm right?
But she's about 40, right?
Well, he's 41, so...
That's why I figured.
It makes sense that she's, let me see here, 24. She's 24.
Yay!
Her name is Roxy Horner. Oh, man.
Come on.
Roxy Horner. Roxy Horner.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Yep. So if someone says to you, I want you to meet a girl named Roxy Horner, you're like, yes.
I'm in.
Let me go buy a ring first, because Roxy Horner's waiting for me. It's like right, the name just drips sex.
It does. And I have a question to ask at some point.
Oh, no.
Like Beam.
It's oh, no.
Too much banging.
No, no.
Too much banging,
so
right?
Too much banging. With Roxy Horner.
Please don't ruin everything here, Bean.
No. This is
all having a good time.
This is a legitimate question.
We're enjoying our Roxy Horner time.
I don't think it's gross yet because we're still only talking about a 17-year age difference, which is manageable. Is there a point at which it is gross if Leonardo DiCaprio continues to only date 24 and under?
If you lost your virginity before... your significant other was born, that's when I think it reaches the creepy zone.
So 17 is right just about where you're ready to say, no, sir.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was a child star.
Right.
So he lost.
So he was like six, right?
14.
Yeah.
So he's crossed over into the creepy zone.
In your opinion, then it's already
been my
creepy.
Breakdown.
Allie, what do you think as a woman looking at this situation? Is this creepy?
Here's the thing. He's only going to date supermodels.
Right.
He's not going to date a 40-year-old supermodel.
How many are there?
Right?
Don't they kill him at 35?
I don't think they should.
They take him out.
Yeah, they should.
Hey, sit down.
Past their expiration
date. They take him out.
I don't think they do.
Listen, do what you got to do. Age is just a number.
So you got no problem with it?
Nah.
Okay.
Because let's be honest, ladies, none of us are going to date him. Let the man have his fun.
All right.
I'm sure they're having great conversations.
Wow.
Bet they're having a really lightning toss.
Oh, they have
right
a lot
now.
To talk about.
Yeah.
They both agree on how hot she is.
Right.
That was not the lonely feminine rage I was hoping for or expecting, quite frankly. You let me down, Allie.
Sorry.
It's all right. Just try to do better. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Today's celebrity birthdays. You want the best? You got the best.
The band Kiss?
Ace Frehley,
oh.
Guitarist for Kiss at one time. 65 years old today. Now he's like, you want mediocrity? You've got mediocrity. He plays county fairs. Patrick Stump.
He put out more
Ace Frehley news.
He put out a new album last week.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Stanley guest starred on it. It's the first time they've worked together since that awful split when he was kicked out of the band.
What?
And he is starting to now talk about how he'd like to get back in with the Kiss. I feel like he's trying to make up a little bit with
Ace with returns.
He's making overtures in that direction. I don't know if Mr. Simmons is going to have any of it.
I could talk about
maybe.
This all day.
Right?
Could you?
I hope you will.
Okay.
He's making overtures.
Well, as long as there's overtures to be reported.
Correct.
There's no way Gene Simmons ever lets him back in the band.
I do feel like that bridge has been burned.
Right. So let's not.
Plus,
let's
more
not talk overtures.
More importantly, who cares?
I think mostly who cares. Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Dare you? Well, you're not Knights in Satan Service, obviously.
Right. No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Kiss.
Oh no.
Knights in Satan Service.
No.
No.
Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy is 32 years old. Actress Jenna Coleman. Remember her as the Doctor's companion. Clara Osgood, nothing? Ringing a bell?
Adorable.
Nothing?
No.
Adorable.
We had her in the show, Kevin. We had her on this very radio program.
Charming, lovely,
in the
talented.
Studio. We had her in the
nothing.
Studio on this program.
I'm getting nothing.
You enjoyed her. You liked her very much.
I like a lot of people very much.
Doesn't mean I remember them.
Right.
I like them, and then they just go out my head. And Dodgers shortstop Corey Seager. Why is this? Why, Dave? Why is this name on my list?
Because he's a stud.
Oh,
he's
okay.
A stud.
Well, he's got me there.
All right. All right.
That's your stud update. I'm Ralph Garman.
Allie, do we have a little bit of a crush on Tom Kavanaugh? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Well,
a lot
I think
of talk
everyone
over there about
does.
His dreamy eyes.
I'm just saying he has the bluest of blue eyes. And he's a handsome man, but those eyes. Good Lord. Ralph, if you could stop rubbing your nipples, that'd be great.
Why don't you stop rubbing your nipples, lady?
I will not.
Tom Kavanaugh from The Flash joins us next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. We love Tom. It's always good to catch up with him. And comedian Eddie Ift as well.
So Bean says this about a week ago. I own a lot of websites. And I got an email from somebody offering me $400 for 70247.com.
Which is what?
The Roswell date. The date of Roswell.
Huh.
Bean owns it.
Yeah.
And has done nothing with it.
In my defense, I've only had it about 12 years.
Right.
The date of Roswell what, by the way? What are we talking about? What's the date?
The invasion.
The alien invasion.
The flying saucers, you know.
So the fictional date for a fictional thing.
Well, it's a real date, first of all, and it's a real thing.
Right. Okay. So Bean owns it and is doing nothing with it.
Like he does with all his websites that he owns.
So far.
So far, please.
For 12 years.
So he gets somebody that offers him $400 for that website and says, nope.
I'm not responding.
I'm not going to respond. We said, why wouldn't you respond? And Ralph, do you want to tell us?
It's magical.
What the answer was?
This is some kind of scam.
I think it is.
It's a person offering you $400 for a website.
Oh, it's one of those internet scams where someone you don't know gives you money instead of asking
those
for it.
Those are the worst.
Oh, I hate those.
Because you end up with all that extra money.
I hate those scams.
What's the scam, Bean?
I don't know what the scam is, but look, guys, isn't the internet and isn't your email famous for getting notes from people that says you have been awarded $2 million?
Right.
But that's not what
this
was.
Please
send me $200,000, put it in a bank account, and then I will give you the $2 million once I get paid for my lottery winnings.
That's how that
works. We're going to give you $400 for your website. That's not a scam. It's called a transaction.
Right. You have a website. They have money. They would like you to have the money and them to have the website.
It's an exchange of goods for currency.
Yeah. And you don't know on that first email that it's going to be a scam with the $2 million either until you write back and get the details.
And that's,
I don't know.
That's why you wrote back and got details?
Oh, good.
What
happened when you wrote back and got the details?
I didn't respond at all because I'm so convinced that somehow this dude, whoever he is looking to rip me off that I'm just not going to respond. And
are
by the way,
mental patience?
And that's why we bring you Bean Baxter, Scam Detector.
He's Bean Baxter, the Scam Detector, the Scam Detector.
Idiot.
Hey, that was harsh.
Look, so somebody offered you $400 and you sniffed that out as scam.
If I were to read you this email that is up in front of me, perhaps you guys would be on my side.
All right? Let's hear it.
Here's what it says. Hi, Bean at krock.com. 70247.com. I'm interested in the domain you're holding. My offer is $400 each. Whether to sell?
Right.
Now, doesn't that sound like some guy in Eastern Europe who's figured out a way to blanket email America and get a bunch of fish on the hook?
Hold on. But they know that you own that website. It's not like I got the same email.
Right. They have the address. They have the address that website is registered under.
Right.
It's a specific email to you. That's not a mass mailing to everybody.
No, but you can find out on anyone can find out who owns any website.
Right.
They could have just gone.
Scammer in the world. If he's going to you and he's trying to get $400 out of you, how many scams does this guy have to commit in a year in order to make his nut? What's his overhead?
He's not getting 400. He's giving 400.
I'm not pretending to know how the magic trick works, you guys. All I know is that I'm not going to be fooled by it.
This doesn't seem at all like a scam. It seems like a guy who's a lunatic like you who thinks Roswell's a thing.
And Roswell is a thing.
And he wants to do something with the website instead of sit on it. So here's what happens. I mean, this is how these things work. There are websites you go to like Whois or some of these other. And then you research the website you're looking for. They give you the person. And then you contact them with an email saying, I'd like to purchase your website. I've done it myself many times.
Not if you're Bean.
He's Bean Baxter, the Scam Detector, the Scam Detector.
Idiot.
Maybe we'll hear from somebody who can explain to me how smart I am for not stepping into this hole, because I'm convinced that bad things happen if I do.
Because somebody...
Here's the idea. Here's the worst case scenario. You write back an email and say... I'm interested. Give me more details.
And then they'll respond and you'll see if it's a scam or not.
That's when they get you. That's when the worms come through the wires of the internet.
But even the way it was written with its kind of broken English, didn't it sound a little scammy
like
to you?
It sounded like perhaps somebody that didn't speak English well.
Maybe it's not their first language.
Or some sort of international crime lord who's basically trying to fleece me for everything I own.
And by fleece you mean give you $400?
That's how they get you, Kevin. First, they dangle $400 sweet dollars in front of you, and then they got you on the hook for sometimes $450 or $475.
Here's the thing for me that's
sometimes
weird.
They make an 8% profit on that.
Bean has owned this website, 70247.com, for 12 years. He can't wrap his head around the idea that maybe somebody else would be interested in that website and do something with it.
Maybe put pictures of, Roswell on it.
Which you're doing none of.
Well,
so
I haven't gotten to it yet.
So they look up 70247.com and they go, hey, there's nothing up there. That's a shame. Let's find out who owns it and make them an offer.
Well, they're not going to get it from me.
Why?
I'll tell you that.
Why?
I'm not going to fall victim to this kind of chicanery.
Yeah, chicanery,
however you pronounce that, whichever it is.
And
what?
It doesn't exist.
They're offering you $400. That's what's on the table. I do know because you read the email to me.
Can you imagine being having a yard sale? It's like, hey, I'll give you $50 for that lamp. I'm not falling for this. You want to pay me for this thing that I own, and then I give it to you? Get off my lawn! I don't like all the chicanery of you trying to buy my old used DVDs for $5 a piece. I know there's an ulterior motive to your evil plan.
All right, let's go to
Drug Lord.
Let's go to Jason in Chino. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Hi there. So Bean is right?
Dean is right.
Yeah, how is he right? You know,
even I'm surprised to hear this news.
Because the general rule is, if you didn't go looking for it, then it's a scam.
Right, I know that's
a general rule, but if someone wants to buy a website that you own, they are going to contact you. You're not going to mentally somehow pick up a vibe in the air that some guy wants to buy your website and contact him.
Well, that's true, and I'm not saying that in this instance, but, you know, it's better to be paranoid and miss this opportunity. Mm.
I agree, Jason.
Because if he emails back, what happens, Jason?
I may have to take his $400.
Now you know there's a live person on the other end.
Right.
Right.
And then
the drone strike? What happens, Jason?
Somebody just wants the website and Bean won't part with it. By the way, this is not the first time Bean has owned a website, done nothing with it, and refused people
and
money.
And been contacted by people, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, who want that website, and Bean says no.
Well, and it is possible because your name is listed as the owner of the website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're not looking to sell,
but wait a minute.
A lot of people aren't willing to sell their website. They're contacted by people who are willing to offer them money for their website.
Like Rob said, he's done that multiple times.
But this is a famous date in history. You can see that other people might be interested in it. It's not just a random website that only means something to you.
I'm going to say goodbye to Jason and just thank him for being on my side and being on the right side
but
of history.
But he's wrong, too.
He's Bean Baxter, the Scam Detector, the Scam Detector.
Idiot. Right. He's not falling for it.
Should I write this guy back?
Yes.
See what he says.
Yes.
What do you think our point is?
What did you think
been?
We were leading up to?
All right, I'm going to set up a dummy email address.
Yeah,
so I'll somehow
you'll
get
show him.
Traced or tagged
we'll,
or followed
we'll
or
track him.
Watched on a webcam or whatever it is he plans on doing.
Yeah, right.
And I'll write him back and see what he says.
Just put on your tinfoil hat, Bean, and just draw the drapes and just rock back and forth in that corner like the lunatic that you are.
All right. We got a clue. Hey, I don't know that. Hey, let's go to Michael real quick, by the way. He was scammed in this way.
I had to clear the lines and give away tickets.
We do, but I didn't realize.
Scam detector.
I didn't realize another scam detector was on the line. Michael, what happened to you?
Yeah, I was selling a boat on Craigslist.
I'm out. Listen, you were on Craigslist.
These are Bean's people.
That's fine. Bean, you want him on your side?
I'm sorry, Michael. We got to go, but thanks for coming.
All right.
1-800-520-1067. I'm sorry, we are done with this topic. My $400 are going to move on to something new now.
You don't
and
have
that is
$400.
Tickets for Captain America Civil War, the most anticipated movie of 2016. I think that's fair to say, don't you, Ralph?
It is in my life.
This is it, right?
Yep.
It opens everywhere in theaters on May 6th. You get to see it at the Big Deal Theater at IMAX headquarters on May the 4th, 2 days early if you call right now. 1-800-520-1067. What kind of Captain America fan are we looking for here today, Ralph?
Well, it's the return of an old game. We've played this before, but it's back by popular demand strictly because of Omar's theme song for this.
Okay.
You should know your history of the Avengers in general, since they all seem to battle each other in Captain America Civil War. We're going to take a good, long, hard look at the history of the Avengers. So you've got to know the members of the Avengers team.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Win those tickets next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Robert Downey Jr., and all the rest. We're talking Cap. Captain America Civil War in theaters on May 6th. You get to see it in IMAX at the Big Deal Theater on May 4th. What's this game called, Ralph Garman?
Well, as you know, Captain America Civil War involves two factions of the Avengers pitted against each other. And it's so great we see all these Avengers coming on. And there's such a huge gallery of characters that comes out of the Avengers that you could choose from. And we're seeing them add more and more with each and every movie. But there are some that aren't quite as known as some of the others. We might call them lesser-known Avengers.
The lesser-known Avengers. The lesser-known Avengers. The lesser-known, Avengers. Can you name the lesser-known Avenger? The lesser-known, Avengers. Yeah. The lesser-known Avengers. The lesser-known, Avengers. This game's called the lesser-known Avengers.
Wow. Very peppy. Every time I hear that, it almost makes my foot loose. I like it. All right, so contestants are on the line. Who's up first here, Kevin?
First, we have Dwayne and Corona. Hi there.
Morning, boys.
Hey, Dwayne. These are some lesser-known Avengers.
The lesser-known Avengers.
That we'd like to see in upcoming Marvel Avenger movies. You will see this guy soon, but not yet in the Avengers. He was first joined the team in New Avengers number 27. He was once a surgeon, but now he is the Sorcerer Supreme. Which lesser-known Avenger are we talking about?
Sorcerer Supreme
was once a gifted surgeon. A car accident damaged the nerves in his hands, ended his career.
Dr. Strange?
There you go.
Nicely
Look at
done.
That. You're going.
Very
Thank
impressive.
You.
Hold on. All right, let's go to Eugene in Alhambra. Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, Eugene. This lesser-known Avenger...
The lesser-known Avengers!
Primarily known as a member of the team, the Invaders, but he enjoyed the Avengers in issue 262. He is half-human and half-Atlantean Prince of Atlantis.
Submariner.
Submariner's correct, sir.
Nicely
well done.
Done.
Now, does he know Aquaman, Ralph? Are they related? Are they,
How
we don't have time
you.
For that.
Don't you
they
cross my
hang universes. Out under the sea? Or?
Don't oh, cross the streams.
Yeah, totally Got different it. Universe.
Next up is Sorry. Cameron in Torrance. Hi, Cameron.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
I'll hey. Tell you what's going on.
The lesser-known Avengers.
Hey, Cameron, this lesser-known Avenger started in New Avengers number one, was his first appearance. He is a badass African-American private detective who also happens to have bulletproof skin and superhuman strength. Do you know who we're talking about?
Black Panther?
No, I'm sorry. Luke Cage. Cage we're looking for.
Thank you. Let's move
nice
on
try,
to Daniel in Long Beach. Hi, Daniel.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Daniel. This lesser-known Avenger...
The lesser-known Avengers!
...is named Carol Danvers. She was a...
Miss Marvel.
There you go, Miss
wow.
Marvel.
Wow.
Well done.
Damn, Daniel.
No time for our nonsense.
Let's got go a train to catch or something.
You are going.
Let's go to Richard in Los Angeles. Hi, Richard.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Richard.
Got a train to catch...
Or something. Just saying, busy man. Got to move on. No time for nonsense.
That's right. King of the bad examples.
Sure.
Where are we, Richard?
We're Richard.
Richard, I'm
yeah,
sorry. Sorry. Sorry to leave you hanging there, Richard. Here is your lesser-known Avenger.
The lesser-known Avengers.
He joined the team in Avengers number 160. He has ionic energy power. Flight, longevity, super strength, steam, speed, and stamina. His real identity is Simon Williams. Do you know which lesser-known Avenger we're talking about?
Can you repeat that, actually?
Sure.
The whole thing?
First joined the team in Avengers 160. He has ionic energy powers, flight, longevity, super strength, and speed. His real name is Simon Williams. That's his secret identity. Do you know the name of this lesser-known Avenger?
I am thinking Wonder Man.
Wonder Man is correct, sir. Well
Wonder
done.
Man.
I would have gone Banging Boy.
Right?
Hey, anyone keeping track on how many tickets we've given
yes,
away?
Yes, we've given away four.
All right,
four
got
pair.
One.
I have one more pair. Let's go to Sean in Woodland Hills. Hi, Sean.
How's it going?
Good.
Sean, this lesser-known Avenger...
The lesser-known Avengers...
...is actually the cousin to another Avenger... She received an emergency blood transfusion from him when she was wounded.
She-Hulk.
I'm sorry, what was that?
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. She-Hulk, indeed.
These contestants are incredible.
Yes, they are.
Do you have another train to catch, Sean?
She-Hulk is correct. You're going to see Captain America's Civil War. Congratulations.
And thanks for playing the game. The lesser known Avenger. The Strumbellas on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. They are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016.
Hey, how about you have a nice Strumbella? I stuff it with sausage, cheese, and I say zesty sauce that you have so full of your mouth, Strumbella, it'll come and pour it out of using a napkin.
Saturday, May 14th at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You can get more details at krock.com.
Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash on the CW joins us next hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Rob is here with a showbiz beat for Wednesday. What's going on?
Such a huge fan of that man. Remember Ed?
Yeah, I do.
The series Ed.
He was great in Ed.
I loved that show so much.
Mm-hmm.
And now to have him on one of my favorite shows, Flash, I get to watch him every week, and he's so good as Harrison Wells or Eobard Thawne or whoever he's playing this week. He has like 9 different characters he plays on that show. Earth 2, Wells. Who knows what's next for that man? Looking forward to meeting him. Bumbershoot is a thing. It's a music festival happening again this summer in Seattle. The lineup has just been released. Here are your performers for Bumbershoot if you want to head up to that godforsaken city and
how dare you
spend some time up there. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Death Cab for Cutie. Or Death Club for Cutie, if you're Rodney Bingenheimer,
right?
Billy Idol, come on!
Wow, Billy Idol.
Billy Mother Loving Idol.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Billy Idol played our Weenie Roast years ago? Or was it acoustic?
I think it was acoustic. And yeah, I do remember because I remember thinking, how good can he still be?
And then
amazing.
Blew us
crushed
away.
It.
Yes.
Crushed it.
It was amazing.
Tame Impala, Third Eye Blind, Fetty Wap, and others also set to perform. You can check all the info out at bumbershoot.com. Dates for it this year are September 2nd through the 4th, so enjoy.
But you have to go to Seattle.
That's the only drawback.
Yeah. Seattle in September is pretty lovely.
You might get stuck to the gum wall, so be careful, because they have a gum full of they have a wall full of chewed gum. What kind of city? What kind of animals live in that city? They just stick chewed gum to a wall.
It is an odd tourist attraction, I will confess.
Like a monkey.
I'm just excited because I've always wanted to see Third Eye Blind, but refused to do it unless I could also see Fetty Wap at the same show. So this sounds like it was custom made for me.
Does it seem like more people are dying than usual?
Yes.
Like our celebrities are just dropping like flies?
Yes.
I don't know. It doesn't seem more than usual.
You don't think it's just been a deluge?
I don't know.
Of great entertainers passing away?
I mean there have been some big ones.
Even just musically, to lose George Martin and Maurice White and Glenn Frey and Prince and David Bowie. Merle Haggard. All in 3-4 months. I mean, it's crazy.
Alan Rickman, Doris Roberts. I mean, it just seems like it's been a nightmare. Well, it turns out BBC did a little research because they felt the same way. And they found out that twice as many obituaries have been written in the first quarter of 2016 as compared to the same period last year.
Wow.
Five times as many as were published in 2012.
Bean has a boner right now.
It's just an onslaught.
What is that?
Of notable deaths.
That's weird.
We're circling the drain. God's taking all the good ones first. And then
the
plagues.
Rest of us have to wait.
Right.
Go
take
all
the nice, good, talented people away, and then plagues.
Mm.
Do they have a theory as to why?
Well, they have several. First of all, baby boomers make up a quarter of the total population.
Okay.
And baby boomers now are age range 52 to 70, which is the beginning of the death zone, really.
That's where you lose people like Gary Shandling and Glenn Frey, who are in their late 60s.
Right. They also believe that social media accelerates the pace that these news stories reach us, so there's more coverage than ever before. So
I can see that.
It seems like, you know, there may have been, you know, 5 years ago, there may have been someone passing, and maybe you didn't even hear about them passing.
Yeah.
But now you can't escape any pseudo-celebrity's death. You see it.
So Twitter kills people is what you're saying.
Twitter kills people, yeah.
That's a great point, Ralph, because you might not have ever heard about Billy Paul, Me and Mrs. Jones,
right.
If it's something that didn't come up in a social media feed that you now are on that you wouldn't have been on 5 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. So that and it's the end times.
Both of those?
Yes, the world's coming to an end, so we got that. But I know for one fact, One guy's still with us, Billy D. Mother Lovin' Williams. That's right, Lando Calrissian, he's still with us. You know how I know he's with us? Because he's in business once again with Colt 45.
Yes.
He's coming back to promote Colt 45.
I'm just totally psyched. What's going on with that?
Colt 45 will be printing his face on the side of cans of the malt liquor. So you get to sip a nice cold Colt 45 malt liquor, and you can look at Billy D. Williams' face right there on the can.
Is that something that we've needed?
Yes, it is.
It is, okay.
I have.
All right.
It's
one of the most famous ad campaigns of all time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's back. Colt 45.
Then they're going to send him to Mars one way.
No, they will not. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley at one time. He's since been bounced from the band, but he'll always be Space Ace to me. 65 years old. Fallout Boy singer, rather, Patrick Stump is 32. And actress Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who. I mistakenly said Jenna Osgood last hour. Of course, I meant to...
That's why I didn't recognize her.
I mean, not Jenna. Clara Osgood. I meant to say Clara Oswald.
Right.
Of course.
But you still said Jenna Coleman.
But Jenna Coleman, I did say.
Yeah, you said that.
I did say the one you met, Kevin. Yeah. The actress you met in here
and
when
loved.
She came
met
by.
And loved?
Met and loved.
Okay.
Yes. She's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So you're saying, if I'm reading it correctly, that Donald Trump is a thing. That's your point?
Since the day Mr. Trump announced, Kevin has said, yeah, but that's going to fall apart. That's not going to last.
Right. And you're now, telling me that it's still a thing?
Well, we're 40 states in on the primaries, Kevin. 40 states in. Of course, he won New York State last week. And yesterday, and I know you don't follow politics and you don't watch the news because you're a kid, but yesterday he won Maryland, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Delaware, and Rhode Island.
Five-state sweep, Kevin.
Yeah. So... is he a thing? Yes. Is he going to be the Republican nominee? Yes. Is he going to be our president? Possibly.
It's time for a Trump date.
He's a guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Donald J. Trump, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
I am exhausted. I'm exhausted from winning so much.
A lot of winning.
I can't stop winning. If I wanted to not win, I don't think I could do it, because all I do is win.
Well, you're certainly not trying very hard to win, yet you are still winning.
I'm just a winner. That's what I am. Some people win. Some people are Marco Rubio.
Right. Right. What about this plan that Ted Cruz and Governor Kasich came up with, that they were going to somehow work against you, combine their forces, get each of each other's voters to vote for the other guy so that you wouldn't win states?
How'd that work out?
Well, it doesn't seem to have worked well.
So hasn't pathetic. Been effective.
So pathetic. It shows you how weak they are that they had to say, oh, let's team up and try to take on Trump, because he's the winningest winner in winning history. And still they couldn't do it. Why? Yeah. Because Lying Ted looks like Grandpa from the Munsters.
True.
And Kasich looks like something else that's not likable.
Good pull.
So what do you think it is at this point that is, look, you've been doing this for 10 months now. People have now investigated you. They've thought about you. They've watched you. They've read what you've written. They know where you stand, and they still like you. What is resonating so well with the American people right now, Mr. Trump?
They love a winner. That's all it is. I win. It's over. This contest is over. Just give me the Republican nomination. And a can of hairspray, because really, the wind is going nuts on my hair. I can't believe it. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Can't you buy your own hairspray?
I could, but how do you stay rich if you go around buying your own hairspray? See, that's the problem. You don't understand how big business works. I do.
You do.
I will build a giant can of hairspray, and I will make my hair pay for it.
That's not even making any sense to me, Mr. Trump.
No, it's not. I have very little sleep.
All right. Let me ask you this, because a lot of people, and of course you do have critics out there, Donald, who say that you are just trafficking in fear. Like, what was it you said in Rhode Island the other day that people kind of – you got a little bit of pushback
for? I don't traffic in fear. I just speak the truth. And right. I told the good people of Rhode Island, a great state, by the way, love Rhode Island.
Right.
I have lots of great friends there in Rhode Island. I told them, you need to lock your doors because Syrian refugees are coming. How is that? How is that dealing in hate?
You couldn't even get through that.
Why do you say I try to make people fearful?
Right.
Should I tell them to lock their doors? The Syrians are coming. The Syrians are coming.
Okay, but the Syrians aren't coming, though, and the people in Rhode Island have nothing to fear from people from Syria.
Some of them are, and some of them do. I guess. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I win. That's all.
You win.
That's all that matters. Why? If I wasn't such a big winner... And I am. I'm a huge winner.
Right.
If you look at the polls.
You've told us that a lot.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Huge yes. wins in the polls.
Right.
You're popular.
I'm going
yes.
to Indiana, going to win there.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's over. This is over.
It's
if
over.
I wasn't such a big winner, why would people in Texas want to name an elementary school after me?
Okay. Now, let me tell folks about that, because they've decided to rename a school there that was named after the Confederate president, Robert E. Lee, or general, I should say, not the president. So Robert E. Lee is no longer in fashion right now because he's, you know, the wrong side of that war. So
you own a few slaves and you're a bad guy. That's the problem.
And you declare war on the United States, right. So then they say to the people, they say, who do you want us to rename this school for? And overwhelmingly, Donald Trump is the name that people in Texas would like to see this school renamed to in Austin.
Donald J. Trump Elementary School. A school for winners. That's what I would put on the outside of the school. A school for little winners.
Well, I mean, a lot of schools in this country are named after U.S. presidents. We're just getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but why the hell not?
I got more votes for the renaming of that school than Adolf Hitler.
That is true, actually, yes.
I feel like that is obvious, though. I feel like any of us...
Really? Is it?
Hitler?
Yeah, really?
I think so.
I don't know. Pretty famous. Hitler's pretty famous.
Right, he's famous, but...
I'm saying I'm more famous than Hitler.
Well... I don't know if that's true, but I just think in general, maybe stay away from talking about Hitler.
Yeah.
Is he a bad guy? I don't know much about history.
yes. Not a good guy.
He's not even famous.
He's a guy you love to hate. That was the Trump Date.
Sit down.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive. To the outside world, I'm an ordinary forensic scientist. But secretly, with the help of my friends at Star Labs, I fight crime and find other metahumans like me. Mm-hmm. I hunted down the man who killed my mother, but in doing so, I opened up our world to new threats. And I am the only one fast enough to stop them. I am the Flash.
Right. Yeah. Right. Blah, 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 blah. Right, Dr. Harrison Wells?
Yeah, we feel like the preamble. We get the preamble. It would be nice to see one show where it's like, my name is Barry. We know, Barry Allen. I'm the fastest man alive. We get it. I used to hunt down the guy. To
right.
We know.
Does it have to get longer as the plot expands over the seasons, too?
It'd
I opened
nice
up a breach, but then I went back and I closed them. And now the people from the other world that we met were, too.
Yeah.
They know about me, but there was another guy who was really fast over there. But now we're going to try to stop him.
By year 17, it's like, you know, just a voiceover and then clips from the show. And then there's like 1 or 2 minutes of action.
Right. Next week.
Next week.
On the Flash.
Exactly right.
Well, that is the voice of actor Tom Cavanaugh, of course, from The Flash, Tuesday nights at 8 on the CW. And here's what I love about Tom is he is on point coming in on a Wednesday to promote a Tuesday night show. So let's hear it for
Wait,
Tom.
Wait, what? Yeah. Oh, it's Wednesday.
It was last night, Tom.
Show was last
Sorry
night.
Well, we film in Canada, so it's
all
Monday.
Oh, the time difference, I forgot.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly right. When you go north, as you know,
you lose a day and a half.
Yeah. It's well known, yeah, for television. You're one of those Canadians, right, Tom?
I just said that, Bean. I just said I.
Well,
no, actually, I didn't. I said
Canada?
We film in Canada.
Yeah,
I am one of those Canadians. We don't have an accent. You do.
Okay.
Very aggressive.
Yeah, exactly right. He's
you
not.
Don't
he's not
Canadian.
They're known
right?
for.
Supposed to
he's
aggression.
Not your typical Canadian, right?
No,
he'll be a little angrier than most.
Forceful than most of them. Eh?
He got some anger
yeah,
in him.
That's why they threw him out. Sent him to America.
Yeah. Yeah. He lives in New York because he was too mean.
You have spent so much time in the United States since you became an actor, though. Is there ever a time where you feel more American than you feel Canadian?
Wow.
25 years later,
I'm going to let Donald Trump answer that question. Your faux Donald Trump will do a better job answering that question. Is there a time when you feel more Canadian
Sit
than American?
Sit down.
Nice. Sit down.
The Canadians down. Are coming. Lock your doors. The Canadians are coming. They're dangerous.
Lock the doors. Hey, how do you get 200 Canadians out of a pool?
I don't know how.
Will all the Canadians please leave the pool?
Oh.
I don't know. Said anything? Right now, there's a bunch of Canadians going, screw him.
I wouldn't
turn their backs on you.
He's not even the Flash. He's the Reverse Flash.
And you're not even him anymore. Now you're just Cranky Wells.
Or am I?
Oh, good point.
You know what I like about playing the Reverse Flash?
What?
Running backwards.
When you do
that's
one of those.
Understand how it works, Allie.
By the way.
Yeah.
That's what you came up with that yesterday,
yeah.
People told me. Yeah.
I don't know.
Think that is incredibly perceptive of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
thank you.
Shouldn't reverse? And then I don't know. I've never even run into
that
idea. And I thought that's the idea for those who weren't listening yesterday. I don't know what you're doing not listening yesterday. Is that the Flash would go forward and the Reverse Flash would go backwards very fast.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can taunt him that way. So you can make fun of him and say, come on. And you're just running backwards the whole time.
Back in Cro-Magnon days. Yeah, it wouldn't be so great. But it makes, you know, it's like you say, it makes sense.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Someone.
Wow. Again, you're doing damage here, Tom.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Come in, drop bombs, leave. That guy, I never got his name, but he sure screwed up this place. I'll never forget old what's-his-face.
How fun for you on the show. This is like your third incarnation of a character, pretty much. You were your Eobard Thawne, of course, the horrible Reverse Flash. But then you also got to play Harrison Wells, the good guy, on top of that character. And now you get to play Wells from Earth 2, who is a better guy, but seems to be a lot crankier than the other Wells. How much fun as an actor is it to play all these different variations on a theme?
It is. It's tremendous. Any actor out there will tell you, the more stuff you get to do, the more fun it is. And this has been, it's like a sugar overfill. You know, there's like, you're going to play this guy, but you're also this guy. And at the same time, you're this guy. And also, you're from a different Earth. You're the same guy that looks the same, but you're a completely different guy. And you talk like this, and you're a jackass and badass, and you're mean. The people who don't like it are the wardrobe department. Because all these characters have the same name. And
right.
You're like, give me the Harrison Wells outfit. They're like, which one? Which one, damn it? We shooting five. Which one? So, my apologies to them.
It must be a blast for everybody on the show to get to play their evil doppelgangers. You know, when I look at, Caitlin Snow meeting Killer Frost as, like, last night's episode, or when Carlos meets Reverb, it just must be so much fun to be able to go off and do that and play the evil twin. That's like everybody in sci-fi. You know, you always have that great episode where Kirk meets evil Kirk and that kind of stuff. So when you get to play your evil twin, it just must be a blast.
It's delicious. The behind-the-scenes fun of that kind of scenario is when you do a read-through and one person spends scene after scene going, well, it's nice to meet you. Well, it's nice to meet you. Well, where have you been? Where have you been? And, you know, one person talks for a long, long time. Yeah, but I think all the cast will say would agree that it's just absolutely delicious. It's a privilege to get to do something like that.
This is the voice of actor Tom Cavanagh here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about The Flash, Tuesday nights at 8 on the CW, in the second season now, already renewed for the third season. What were your honest, now you can tell us, expectations of how long The Flash would last when you started this show?
I approach The Flash like I approach every show, which is like, well, that'll be canceled. You know, I really do. You know, that's just the numbers. See, I want to come on the Kevin Bean show. Just the numbers, guys. That's just how it works out. You know,
most shows don't make it.
Most shows don't make it. You know, they'll have 27 pilots and like shoot 12, and you know, four will make it on the air, and only one will come back for a second season. You know, it's and you're very used is the right word, but usually the sword is hanging over you, and you're like, everyone's telling you the same thing. We love you. And then slice.
Oh, what a
it happens all the
and
time.
They don't let
right?
you on the lot the
no,
next
we,
day.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. You're fired. Jerry Seinfeld said this great thing on there was a 75-year NBC reunion, and Seinfeld was the MC, and they've invited all the people from, you know, their hit shows in the past. And he's like, we're all happy. We're festive. We're happy to be here. A reminder, we've all been fired by NBC. One thing in common. And so that's, you know, and at some point the CW will be like, yeah, Flash isn't really doing it for us anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but for the time being, we're happy to be there.
You're getting good ratings, too, as well. It's not
huge ratings.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
It's CW's the highest rated show, isn't it?
I think it is.
I believe it is.
If somebody asks you that, go with yes.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the actually, I think it's the top show. I think it's the top show on television. Here I was. This is how I don't know ratings. I'm like, I was trying to like give a top show example, but I couldn't think of one.
Couldn't think of any?
I was thinking of high quality shows, like, but maybe they don't. you know, maybe they'll get numbers. I don't want to, like, you know.
Look, we're better than upset the apple cart.
St. Elsewhere. We're better than St. Elsewhere. That's a good. That's it. We're better than St. Elsewhere.
Back.
We've all been there where we love a show and we can't for the life of us understand how everybody else doesn't like it. That happens all the time.
And vice versa. There are shows that are huge hits. I'm like, who's watching
right,
that?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Sure.
I don't know anyone who watches Blue Bloods, and yet it's in the top five.
My
every
mother
week.
Watches it's, Blue Bloods.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. His mother. Yeah. Your mother.
It's her fault.
Tom, weren't you on an episode of Blue Bloods?
Sure I was.
Yeah?
Yeah. I talk like this. How you doing? Yeah, I was a bad guy. A Griffelberg.
Was this the Guys and Dolls episode of Blue Bloods?
Yeah. What, mind your P's and Q's over there. Fun show. Hit show.
Big hit.
Big numbers.
So I've been told.
Talked to Ali's mom. Yeah. I was happy to be there. Good people.
It's no The Flash, though. It's no The Flash. That's what we've learned. All right. We have to take a very quick break. Actor Tom Cavanaugh is here. The Flash is Tuesday nights at 8 on CW. Many more questions for Dr. Harrison Wells, or is he, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Tom Cavanaugh in studio with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is from The Flash, Tuesday nights at 8 on the CW, of course, Dr. Harrison Wells. True or false, Mr. Cavanaugh? You graduated.
He's not a guest tour.
Here's a question.
False.
Yes, you graduated from Queen's University in Ontario with 3 degrees.
True.
How does
I thought there was going to be another question.
No. How does one get... You had a degree in English, a degree in biology, and a degree in education. How does one have essentially a triple major?
You got to be wicked smart. If you're wicked smart, then you can do as many degrees as you want at that school.
What were you overcompensating for to need 3 degrees?
Five years basketball eligibility, my friend.
Oh. There you go. Uh-huh. Now it makes sense.
What can I do? We got one more year left on the team. I got to. What degrees are there? Name degrees. Education. Sold.
I'll take another one.
Interestingly enough, when I got the education degree, there was a very somber, assembly at the beginning where they gathered all the prospective teachers in the auditorium and they said, look to your left, look to your right. One of the three of you will not become a teacher. I was like, you two guys on the left and right are cool.
You're safe.
Because that's me.
I can tell you right now.
We hadn't taken one class. I'm like, I'm that guy, so you guys are good.
did Queen's University have a formidable basketball program during the years you were there?
We didn't
Any
have
success?
We didn't have a losing season in the years I was there. So I guess that's something. We also didn't bring home any hardware. But a great, great group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was there a time, and I don't know how it works in Canada, but was there a time early in your basketball playing career where you thought, so I'm going to be a professional basketball player?
Yes, there was not a time.
There was not a time. Okay.
But though I did talk to some people, like this is the route for us was overseas. It was a lot. It was much different than it is nowadays. And so
you would have less a shot at the NBA and more a shot overseas.
In terms of my shot at the NBA, zero.
Uh-huh.
Although what's funny is that was the Steve Nash era when we played. And at the time.
Dorky white guy.
But at the time, we were like all the Canadian basketball players kind of know each other. And at the time, we were all really, really, really hoping that Steve Nash would stick in the NBA. Like, that's what it was. I was like, if that guy could just make a team, that would be amazing.
And hang on.
And kick open the door for the rest of us.
Cut to 2-time MVP. Like, no one, nobody saw that coming. It just kind of shows anything is possible with hard work. Beep. Silence.
Somebody's had some coffee.
Right. Can I read you guys a quick quote
from
my friend Kevin Smith, who just directed an episode of The Flash, by the way. It'll be on May 10th is his episode. This came to me from Kevin. He said, Tom's the funniest guy on the set, but the moment the camera's on, you forget that part of Tom because he's such a stellar actor. All you see is Harrison Wells. As soon as that take is over, he's back to funny Tom, 180 degrees from his character. That's what Kevin says about your work, sir.
How about that?
Very generous on behalf of Mr. Smith. I will say, when Kevin Smith comes in, and that's a bit of a surreal moment, especially if your comedy tends to go towards those tastes. I love the guy. We all kind of like were flabbergasted when that was one of those things. Like, there's a rumor that'll never happen. That Smith will come in and direct, and we just thought, nah, not really. And then when he got there, and then turned out to be all that you'd hope for and more. That was just a supernova. It was just incredible. Everybody was just so excited. We're all now trying to figure out ways that we can have him like run the show and just come back and or just hang out. You know, just hang out with that guy. Can I borrow your hockey jersey?
Maybe don't
just hang out.
Maybe don't go with the hangout thing. Maybe I don't think that'll go well for you.
And right. The big surprise for you, as I understand it, Tom, is not just that he's obviously a very talented director who was picking up some work, is that he was a hardcore Flash fan. Like he knew everything about your show, right?
Yeah, it was incredible to have him in there. He was, you know, he's so well versed in the mythology. To watch Kevin Smith freak out when Grant Gustin shows up for the very first time in the Flash suit was something to behold. He was like, "Oh man, I haven't seen it on. I've seen pictures and on the TV. I've never seen it on." Like he was just completely, you know. I watched Batman v Superman with Mr. Smith, and watching him afterwards, like he didn't get out of his seat. He just sat there and he was like, "I just need to process what I've seen here." You know, he takes that stuff extremely seriously. He's very, very knowledgeable. And it's great
but
to
from
be,
what we know about Kevin, you had to sit there for 10 hours listening to him break that movie down afterwards, right?
He, like, here's the thing. I'm kind of like, yeah, cool. I like the stuff where it's really fast and blows up. And he's like, okay, so here's the thing. You know, he breaks down everything.
You'll get a few hours of explanation.
Yeah, so having that guy at the helm of a superhero show is a very good thing.
Last night on the episode, Griffin Gray is on the program, and his problem is that he gets older as he gets angry.
Yeah.
And I thought how funny that would be if our own Ralph Garman had that. Where when he got angry, he would age so quickly.
What do you mean if I had that? I'm 22. Look at me. Look at the toll my rage is taking on me.
Here's a picture of Ralph yesterday. Here's Ralph now.
That's right. Physically going
he
away.
Got cut off in traffic. And here's what he looks like now.
Now he's withering away.
Here's my real question. Who's the goddamn guy in the mask in the cage that keeps scratching on the walls?
I'm sure Tom will tell us now, Kevin.
I'll tell you right now. It's strychnine pill. Strychnine pill.
Wait, there's a red dot on your forehead from a laser sight.
I don't know that I've seen a character that long in a show without knowing what it is.
Yeah, we've teased the heck out of that thing, haven't we? Yeah.
You better deliver, you bastards.
Here's the thing. I can safely say I feel like we deliver on that one.
Okay.
The nice thing about the show is every week the people who run the show are not interested in, like we said, we tease that along, but we're not really interested in like, come back next week and really get some answers. Like we try to make every episode basically a comic book. You know, you open it up and you're going to, you know, there's going to be satisfaction there. And then you want to have your long running things like the Who's the Man and the Iron Mask to sort of have some payoffs at the end. But I think our season finale is going to answer all those questions and more.
All right.
Politically correct. The laser dot from the CW sniper slowly descends from my forehead.
Speaking
CW
of questions.
Sniper, by the way, not a bad show, right? Am
no,
I right?
No.
Not on CW, but maybe Fox, like CW sniper, you know, like so he can show the real torment.
His name is Sniper, and he's also a sniper.
I can hear the pitch meter now.
Hey, Sniper, don't give it. No, I just meant your name.
Oh,
sorry.
Name.
Yeah.
CW, come over here. I got those bullets.
Yeah, he's from Abilene, and I'm CW sniper, you know.
I felt
I had to become a sniper because of my name.
I was destined.
It felt like it was from the day I was born. My daddy, CW sniper. Senior. Big C-Dub and little C-Dub would go hunting regularly. Right now, a lot of your listeners, who the hell are these guys?
What's like we have any
who
listeners
they think
left?
They are?
Let me ask you a question. Hunter Zolomon, mm-hmm. Zoom. Is terrorizing us all season long, and then we find out Jay Garrick is actually over here on Earth 1 posing as Flash of Earth 2 to torture us all. And then Zoom, at the end, the breach, kills a version of himself right in front of Barry that devastates us all as we watch Zoom kill Jay before we know it's Jay.
This all sounds very plausible so far.
It is. But then Hunter Zolomon tells us that that version of him was actually a version from his past that he brought back to be him, and then he killed that version of himself from the past. Wouldn't that then erase Zoom from the timeline?
This is making insanely good sense to me.
It sounds like math. I don't even know what happened.
It does.
You know, Ralph,
that's a great question.
I need to tell you, you lost me. And then, no.
The one guy I thought I returned to.
Here's what it is. Two words. I got two words for you, and this is how this works. Right. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
This is like, now this is like Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith is like right now listening going, say it. Say it. Right. Say it. Those aren't the two words.
Two words. Or not say it.
The two words are not say it. The two words are time remnant.
Time remnant.
Time remnant.
When one travels through time, gentlemen and ladies, there you can, when in the Speed Force, create something called a time remnant, a different version of yourself when in the Speed Force. That is protected. And so it still exists. It's still a version of you still exists in the Speed Force.
So like when Barry's running so fast and he sees himself while he's running when he was traveling through
time. Time remnant.
Time remnant. Okay. All right. That cleared it up for me. I feel much
better. I swear to God, Tom, with that setup, I thought the two words for Ralph were going to be not real.
I want to see, though, is like, because this is how it works on our show. He, you know, we see him kill himself. We see him get killed.
Right.
And it turns out one guy, just to make it really simple, one version has convinced the second version, like, you know what? I'll kill you, okay? And then they'll think that we're dead, but I'll still be alive, okay? And so I want to see the scene where the guy who's going to get killed is like, yeah. No, yeah, that makes sense. Kill him. Sure. Go ahead. Kill. Because who's going to be like, yeah, no, go ahead, kill me.
Wait, you're going to be the one that survives? Yeah, okay.
Wait, me is killing me, so it's not going to hurt? No, it's going to hurt. You're going to be killed.
Yeah. I'm going to put my hand through your chest and vibrate your heart till it explodes.
Yeah, all right.
It's going to be cool.
If it's good for us, then sure.
All right.
The writers probably are the secret weapon of this show, I would imagine. Because imagine trying to spin that web and keep that thing going for years. After year after year, and have it all make sense. It's remarkable.
What you don't see is the men and women who write The Flash, like, at home, just, like, pulling out their hair, you know, like, popping pills, just like, oh, I gotta figure this out. Like, I just thank God for them. You
must
know,
be because, like, a beautiful mind. They're writing on their windows.
Exactly right. Exactly. Like, every house of the writers that write the show is just, like, it's covered in, like, that kind of beautiful mind wallpaper.
There's yarn going from thumbtack to thumbtack.
Exactly right.
Walls.
Say the line. Yeah, no, they... here's the thing, like, that's a lovely thing. We'll get some credit for it as actors, but they're the people that make it work, keep it straight, make it plausible for, like, a large audience. And I honestly, you know, I don't know how they do it, but every week we get a script. I'm like, yeah, I see that. That makes sense, you know, and thank heavens for them.
Now, it seems like we're moving toward a particle accelerator explosion, which, if I recall correctly, wasn't great.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
I feel like that
with a particle like explosion.
Your character's plan to have that happen again seems ill-advised.
What's funny about what you don't see on the show is the moment after they yell cut. We feel like if anybody spoofs The Flash really well, it's The Flash itself. Like we do a great job of, like, I'll say, because we're going to do another Barry. This literally what happens. So I'll break it down for you. As I'm speaking, I'm like, because we're going to blow up another one and create another Flash. You know, we'll create a new Flash by blowing up the particle accelerator. Cut. Because what could go wrong? I don't see anything. I don't see anything going wrong here. You know, literally, it's like
last time worked out pretty well.
What we do is, like, that's the thing about these people in the science of the thing, when to make things occur. Like, we really swing for the fences. Like, any scientist worth their salt be like, hold on. Let me introduce you guys to the empirical method.
Let's start with some rats first. Let's test it on them.
Exactly right. And it's always like, there's no time.
No.
There's a Dementor knocking at our door. A time wraith that wants to kill all of us. So we have to go now.
That's a comic book show.
Well, look, we're out of time here, Tom. I'm sorry to say.
No!
This has been so much fun.
You're not really out of time.
Right. We can go back in time and start the interview again. There's a reason why most critics say it's the best superhero show on television because it, well, maybe it is. It's The Flash, Tuesday nights at 8 on the CW. How many we have left in the season, Tom? It's got to be what, like 4 left or something?
It's a 23-episode season.
That's unresponsive.
It's a political response. When you ask me, here's what I say to you. It's 23 episodes. So however many there are left, that's the number that is left.
All right. So definitely check it out. Congratulations on being renewed for a third season. So much fun to have you in here today. Thank you, Tom Cavanaugh.
Real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Back to
this week, Dave. Nice job. Of course, there is a lot of print with the tragic news that happened on Friday, I want to say, of losing Prince. It's very hard. I'm glad this video is in the roundup because it is very difficult to find Prince music on YouTube. He notoriously had it pulled down. Anytime anyone put up any of his songs or any of his videos or TV performances where he could, he had them pulled down. So there's not much up there on YouTube. This performance he did authorize, though, and allowed, and it was his appearance at Coachella 2008. And I think especially for a lot of K-Rock listeners who never saw this video, it's worth going to K-Rock.com and watch him doing Radiohead Creep.
Cause I think you're special. Oh, maybe
I'm just a thing. He's got a blazing guitar solo at the end of that, too, which is well worth checking out. You can also find the Super Bowl halftime show performance that he did in the downpour at KRock.com, which was considered by many to be the greatest halftime show ever.
One of them, yeah.
Only because Weird Al hasn't been asked
right,
to do it
sure.
yet. You know how the weather guys and gals all over the country like to put topical references into their weather reports when something happens in the news? Well, they wouldn't let Prince dying get in the way of a couple of good Prince puns.
Yes, here it is.
Nice purple rain.
Can I get a little purple rain from you guys?
Purple rain.
There we go. Hang on to your raspberry beret because the winds are out of the south.
I think this forecast will be making you think, let's go crazy. We'll party like it's 1999.
Love it so much. All of the people in those videos can go straight to hell.
No, there's some that are good.
They're terrible.
And there's some funny. That are
just
not
terrible.
Good.
The guy that did the traffic with Fife, all of those, he was incredible. This is forced and ugh.
Chris Martin from Coldplay did a benefit show the other day, and he had a bunch of, what were they, Dave? Were there eighth graders? Jumped up on stage, and he also did a little bit of a tribute to Prince and sang some of Raspberry Beret. So if you're a big Coldplay fan, you might want to check that out. Other videos on the roundup this week is somebody has edited together a very clever cut of 2001, A Space Odyssey. Now, that was the science fiction movie where the guy, the astronaut, is talking to the computer on the ship named Hal. And they were imagining what it would be like if it was not Hal at all, but it was Siri from your iPhone.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I couldn't find pod bay by the doors in your music.
What are you talking about, Hal?
I can't find Prod Bay by the doors on your phone. Would you like me to search the web?
Oh, dear Lord, that is so my life.
Would have been a very different movie, I think, if Siri had been running things in 2001. Allie, one thing I know about ladies on the internet is they are treated with kid gloves by other people,
much
right?
Respect.
A lot of respect.
Yeah.
People,
ladies, though.
People never say anything mean or sexual or violent toward a woman, particularly if you're a woman who is a sports broadcaster. Yeah. You're someone who appears on TV regularly talking about sports. So somebody put together this video. Why don't you set this one up, Allie, before we hear a clip here?
They had a couple different women in sports, Sarah Spain from ESPN and Julie DeCaro, who is a sports writer in Chicago. And they had men, not men who had tweeted these things, but just different men, read some of the typical, sadly, these are typical, doesn't even brush the surface, typical tweets that these women get on a regular basis.
Hopefully this skank Julie DeCaro is Bill Cosby's next victim. That would be a classic.
And I would say to that,
I don't.
It's very difficult for these men who, again, as Allie pointed out, are not involved in all in writing the tweets to actually read these face-to-face. And that's the point of the video that they say at the end, which is if you wouldn't say it to somebody's face in person, maybe don't say it to them on the internet. And I think that's a pretty good lesson for people to absorb, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Game of Thrones is back, and that means Jonathan, our favorite recapper of those episodes on HBO, is also back. Here's another edition of Gay of Thrones.
It's like they have her at the nail salon, and the girls were totally talking smack about her in Vietnamese, but little do they know, she's fluent. Girl, she came at them like Beyonce and don't hurt yourself. Bitch, who the f*** do you think I is? You ain't married to no average bitch, boy.
I don't even watch Game of Thrones, but I love watching the recaps of the episodes. Honest Trailers is back, too. This is the second time they've talked about Game of Thrones, and as usual, they do a great job.
Featuring skinning people alive, eating people alive, burning children alive while their parents watch, forced sex between siblings next to the corpse of their dead son, and being sexually assaulted by the bastard of the man who killed your family while the castrated slave who killed your friends is forced to watch. Jeez, where do they go from here?
That's about right with what's going on in that show. We're talking about a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup on K-Rock right now. This is a great compilation from the news, Kevin. I know you don't watch the news because you're a kid, but you will love this because this is an edit of people who have been on the news. Some of the people work for the news channel. Some of the people are just on the street being interviewed by the news. And all of them are so high that you'll love their interviews.
What do you mean?
Like, what exactly is going around school? Not from me, but what have you heard people say?
That I guess Brandon was plotting to kill some people. That's what I heard.
And your action is?
Wow, man. Like, killing people is heavy.
Killing people is heavy.
He's right. Is he right?
Indeed, yes.
He is right. Bad Lip Reading is back. They do a fantastic job. I don't know how deaf people are able to read lips because it really does look like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are saying these things that Bad Lip Reading put in their mouths.
This guy is a balding dude.
Wow.
He's balding. He's always balding, and he pinched my little feet because I saw him in his Porsche.
Now, Senator Sanders, she's saying you pinched her. Is that right?
Jumping the box.
Okay. He didn't say that, and she didn't say that.
Sure looks like it, though.
That's why Bad Lip Reading is so office. Two of my favorite videos of the week are the last two this time around. David Spade did something for Funny or Die, and he's with, what's her name, Charlotte McKinney, right?
Yes.
Who we love from the Super Bowl Carl's Jr. commercial. She shows up at Coachella, and he's got a questionnaire that he asks her to answer some of these questions, and it's very funny.
There's an IV stand about 30 feet in. You hook it up, and it just pumps a lot of self-esteem back into your body for when you're driving home, and you're so embarrassed, and it's 3 hours, and you're like, what the am I doing with my life? Obviously nothing. I've been at Coachella for 4 days. No one's missed me at all. I haven't missed work. I've missed my dog's probably dead, and I want to blow my brains out.
Very funny. Check it out. And finally, Veep is back, you guys.
Such a good show.
Yes. I watched Sunday night's season premiere twice already, and I can't believe how funny that show is and how profane and how brutal and how brilliant the takedowns are that all the characters give one another, not the least of which is coming from the president herself. And this genius put together a supercut of all of those.
What are you laughing about, jolly green face?
You're Frankenstein's monster. If his monster was made entirely of dead.
Okay, well, let's see. I'd rather set fire to my vulva, so that's a no.
There's no way I'm going to fit in here.
Well, it's bigger than your mother's womb, and you were in there until you were 15.
You are just a blah, 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 blah bitch. Now, why don't you just go and yourself in your own hole?
It's such a good show. So funny. Watch this video. Hell, watch all the videos at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup.
All right. Here's the headline. Prince's estate. No will could mean chaos. Tax bills and lawsuits, say experts. This is a mess. Prince died. That's sad enough. He also did not leave a will. He has a taxable estate valued at over $250 million. And a bunch of that is going to get eaten up by state and federal estate taxes, which still seem criminal to me. They should be allowed to tax money that you've already paid tax on. But anyway, what's going to happen to all of that money? And it's not just the money that he's got laying around. It's the value of his estate. When you're Prince, your name still has value. You still are going to be making money every year in perpetuity because you're still going to be always selling records, right?
Right.
So what's going to happen without a will? Now, I would imagine, and Ali, maybe you've researched this more than I have, that he has no parents and he has no children.
Right. No spouse.
I would imagine, right, and no wife.
Right.
That his sister, to me, would just be the logical person to be his next of kin. Does it not? Is it not as simple as that?
It isn't in Minnesota because the law treats half siblings the same as full siblings, and I believe there were three or four half siblings as well. They will all get a cut.
So is that what they're talking about? It being chaos?
All of
them fighting over it?
Yeah. Well,
it's all chaos.
Yeah, it's just a mess.
Look, I understand why people in their 50s don't have a will, but having looked at this story, you can also understand why maybe it's wise for people in their 50s to have a will, because there are sometimes surprise deaths. But we started talking about this in the office yesterday, and we were wondering how they're going to go about distributing all of these, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. I wonder if there are people out there who don't know that they're about to get a windfall, people who are related to Prince somehow, who don't know about it, and all of a sudden a check is going to show up at their door. Because you do hear stories about that with, you know, I see it in the movies all the time, but I know it happens in real life too, where the phone rings or a guy knocks on the door and they go, hey, your great aunt that you didn't know existed just died and she didn't have any other relatives, so congratulations, you now own a townhouse in Chicago. You know, things like that happen.
That always was unbelievable to me. I would go, that's dumb.
But it happens in real life, though.
All the time.
Does it?
All the
and
time,
and it happens,
yeah,
like, with random people. Say you're a waitress at a diner, and you have the same guy that keeps coming in over and over, and then all of
a
sudden...
Do you work at an IHOP?
Maybe. But then a guy comes in and...
I'd like my regular.
Come on. But a guy comes in and says, remember Stan? He loved you, and you're in his will. Here's $5 million. I never knew Stan had that kind of money. Like, that kind of stuff happens.
I want to hear your one-man show of Stan and the waitress. I want you to act out every transaction they ever had.
He loved his bacon.
So here's the topic on the table, and I don't think we've done this before, but here's what we're looking for you, the Kevin Amin listener, right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for surprise money. We are looking for money came your way from an unexpected source that you did not expect and you did not predict. Like Ali's talking about, a stranger left you money. Or maybe it's the case with a will. Listen to this. By the way, call us on this if you ever had money turn up and you didn't expect it.
Unexpected gifts from beyond the grave.
I like that very much. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We want to take your calls on that.
Unexpected gifts from beyond the grave.
Beyond the grave,
yep,
right.
I did a little research
on this yesterday. And listen to this story that I came up with that is absolutely true. In 1997, there was a woman named Audrey Naur. She lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and she died. She left the actor Charles Bronson all of her money in a will.
What?
A total of about $300,000.
Wow.
She never met him. She did not know him. He did not know her. She was just a fan.
Oh my God.
And she
that
left
was an
all
unexpected gift from beyond the grave.
Yes, that is my point exactly, Kevin. This is exactly the kind of story that we're talking about. So Charles Bronson, God rest his soul.
Unexpected.
Not yet. Not right now. Oh. Charles Bronson all of a sudden gets a knock on the door or phone rings or something like that. And they say, hey, this lady in Kentucky that you never even met just left you $300,000.
That was unexpected.
Right. That would probably be his response. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's take Cindy real quick from La Mirada before the break. She is on line 2, and she's going to get us started.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi. Good morning.
You had this happen to you?
I did. I actually had a great aunt or great great aunt that I never knew on my father's side who apparently had passed away, and I received the check for about $600.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Now, I wonder why you were on her radar if you guys had never met.
She passed away. She didn't have a will, so they had to go through the trust or the estate and track every family member down. So my brothers received the check. My father received the check.
Wow.
Everybody that had some sort of relation to this woman had received, you know, some a dividend.
Why did she not have more money?
Well, she had a lot of money, Kevin. If $600 was left for a great-great niece, it sounds to me like she had a lot of money, that there was anything left when it got down to that far away.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you feel bad, Cindy, that you had never taken the time in all of her years to get to know this nice lady?
Well, she's in Arkansas, so I don't make it.
Listen to Bean try and shame you.
Yeah, she's in Arkansas, Bean.
Right?
Oh, you can't get there.
I didn't realize she was in Arkansas.
Arkansas doesn't even have phones.
No.
So there's no way, certainly no way to have known her if she lived in Arkansas. All right,
exactly.
I will allow it. Thank you, Cindy,
Thank
for listening.
You.
Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, get your reverb ready. What is it we're looking for the calls right now?
Unexpected gifts from beyond the grave.
Hey, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. We're taking your calls right now on unexpected inheritance, money that you didn't see
unexpected
coming.
Unexpected gifts from beyond the grave, Bean.
Right, I forgot. That's what it's called. Somebody left you money. But it could also be, it doesn't necessarily have to be behind the grave. It could also be, as Allie pointed out, you're one of these hardworking waitresses that a customer takes a shine to and gives you $5,000 to go back to school or something like that. It's like money that came out of nowhere that was left for you intentionally and you didn't know why.
We got a tweet from a woman named Diana. She said she's a probate paralegal, happens all the time, and they employ PIs to track down beneficiaries. And we have a few set to get a lot of money.
Really?
Really?
How cool
I hope
is
some
that?
Of my relatives died.
Oh, I don't think that's what we're saying.
That's not how it works.
That's not the point.
Now, Kevin, you were skeptical of this being a real thing that happens in the world.
I just feel like it doesn't happen as often as you would like to believe in your movies.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Bean Randy writes in, when I was 19, I got $5,000 from a really old guy who lived in the bottom half of my grandmother's San Francisco home. He thought highly of her because she looked down on him frequently and often helped him out. He left her money, too. A couple of times when I was visiting her, I would see him and make polite conversation. I probably talked to him for about 2 minutes. I guess that made an impression on him. Wow. It was certainly unexpected by me. $5,000 is a big deal for a 19-year-old. I used it to buy a new car. How about that? Just from
that's
an old
cool.
man that he was nice to a couple of times.
See, it pays to be nice.
It
right?
pays to be yeah. nice as long as you're guaranteed that the person you're being nice to is rich enough to leave you money.
Correct. And will.
That's how you got to be
will,
careful.
Right.
All right. Let's try Jessica, please. Los Angeles, line 8 to get us going. In this segment, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If somebody died and left you money and you didn't even know them, we want to hear from you.
Unexpected gifts from beyond the grave.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey.
It happened to you?
It didn't happen to me. It happened to my best friend when we were 19. He got a letter in the mail that his great uncle had passed away, someone he had never met before, and it came with a check for $40,000.
Whoa!
How fast does a 19-year-old burn through $40,000?
It took 1 year.
Oh, no.
That's not a good ending.
I think he bought like a truck or something, but it didn't pay all of it, obviously. And then we bought a lot of drugs.
Sure.
So like, it's good to be the best friends of someone who has rich family members.
All right.
Absolutely. That's a very reasonable way to spend the money, too.
Like
Thank
it.
You
yeah.
for the call, Jessica. Appreciate
Just put
that.
Put it right up your nose.
Let's try Rex in Burbank, please, on line 7. This is an interesting story that does not involve cash.
Hey, Rex.
Hey, how's it going?
Does not involve cash. What did you get?
Well, I had a great uncle that I didn't know about, and he left me his ice cream shop.
How cool is that?
Yeah. I have not had done anything with it because I have no idea how to run an ice cream shop, so...
So they just send you checks every month?
No, it was just the property, the ice cream shop itself.
Oh.
Well, I think Kevin is interested in running
yes,
it.
Yes, Kevin would love to own an ice cream shop. So did you just close it down or sell it or what did you do?
No, I still have the property. I have nothing to do. I have to do research, tons and tons of research.
When did you get the ice cream shop?
12 years ago.
That's what I'm expecting.
When that ice cream is not going to still be good. You know that, right?
When did you get the ice cream shop?
About 5 years ago.
5 years ago. He
Rex,
still has some research to do.
I feel like maybe you should Google faster.
What does it take to get you to do some research?
I don't know. I'm a vaudeville performer, so...
Same?
It's just something that... I just don't have time for it.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, you're very busy as a vaudeville performer here
vaudeville
in the 21st century.
Who's got time to research all of that free money when you're doing vaudeville?
Rex, I love you. Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Lisa in Riverside. I think this is our winner chicken dinner, you guys.
Wow. Lisa, hi.
Hi.
You got unexpected money from... The Great Beyond?
Nope.
Or whatever.
Beyond the Grave?
For Beyond the Grave. Thank you, Lisa.
Beyond the Grave. Yes. What happened, Lisa?
My uncle passed a while ago, and unbeknownst to my sister, my mother, and I, we were in his will, and it was quite a significant amount of money.
How much did you get?
Between the three of us, it was close to $1 million.
Wow. Your uncle was loaded.
He was a petrophysicist, so yes, he was loaded.
What's a petrophysicist?
He studies oil and how to get it up out of the ground more efficiently.
Oh. Wow.
Now, Lisa, this is your uncle. Is this your mother's brother who died?
Yes, mother's brother.
Okay, so she must have known he was well off, right?
Not to the extent.
She was surprised by how much money he had.
Exactly. He lived fairly frugally, so it was a little bit of a surprise that? When we got all the paperwork.
How about that? $1 million.
Wow. Did you put it up your nose like that last caller?
No. I bought a house.
Bought a house.
Wow.
I mean, that's the safe, boring way to go.
Right.
I feel like a lot of uncles are dying, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, I don't know if you're in the market for if you're having a party or anything, but we've got a vaudeville performer we can turn you on to. That is our little friend from Denmark, Lucas Graham, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, they're going to be playing the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016 on Saturday, May 14th, along with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Weezer and Panic at the Disco and Garbage and Fits in the Tantrums and so much more. Get all the details at krock.com and make sure you're a street team member to buy your tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon. Hey, Eddie Eft.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very impressed to see you this morning because you've been filling in on the Love Line, playing the Mike Catherwood role this week. So that means you were here at K-Rock until at least midnight last night. And boom, you turn around and you come back this morning. You must feel like you really work here now.
I almost slept in the parking lot. I'm not kidding. I have a truck, and I sometimes sleep in the back when I go surfing. And I was like, well, I got a little roll-out mattress I can put out. You know, everybody will come in the morning. Like, what's up, guys? I'm roasting hot dogs out here.
Everyone who's
right past you into work.
Everyone who's ever been in radio has slept at a radio station for a morning show. It just is part of the deal, man. So now you're in.
Yeah, I used to show up when I did radio in New York. I used to because it's like you guys. I had to be in sometimes at 4:30 in the morning. And when I first started, you know, I would try to plan my sleep. I'm going to go at 9 p.m. and I'm going to get up at 4. I'll get to work at 4:30. It got to the point where I was leaving the bar at 4:30, stumbling down the street, walking, getting coffee and a bagel, and showing up at like 5 a.m. just hammered and doing the show. And I remember my boss telling me after I started doing it, like, he's like, I don't know what you've done, but whatever it is, keep doing it because you've gotten so much better on radio.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, it's called alcoholism.
Eddie, back in the days when you were doing radio, and you did the sports radio, right? As we've talked
about. Yeah, I did sports
before,
a little bit. Yeah.
Right. Were you doing stand up at night also?
Yeah.
Back then?
My schedule was, and I was talking to Dr. Drew about his intense schedule. And it's pretty tough, but I'd be up at about 4:30 for radio, 6 a.m. on the air, do the show till 10, work till about noon, leave and go do auditions.
Oh, man.
Run around New York and sometimes do like up to like 7 auditions, like between voiceover and acting auditions. Then try to go home and get like an hour or two of sleep and then start my schedule of shows from 8 till 2 in the morning. And
Holy
I remember God. Telling the woman that books the Comedy Cellar in New York City where I worked all
I'm
the time.
I'm not good at math, but there's not much sleep time.
No,
in there.
I was hallucinating all the time. I started to hallucinate and have like sleep deprivation. But the woman, this Israeli woman that books the Comedy Cellar, which is like the most prestigious comedy club
like
in the world.
And Bleecker.
Yeah, it's amazing. This woman, Esty, who is the best. And I remember calling her and going, Esty, I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. Can you please not put me on at 1:45 in the morning? And she's like, who do you want me to bump, Eddie? Jerry Seinfeld or Dave Chappelle? I was like, I guess
1:45
I'll see you at 1:45.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah. How is it going to work tonight then? Because you're co-hosting Love Line with Dr. Drew tonight, the second to the last episode.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, last night was last night.
Okay,
Super Steve is on tonight.
Super Steve is on
Super
tonight.
Steve's
right?
on tonight. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha,
and then
gotcha.
Adam is going on with him tomorrow for the final night.
That's awesome. We're having Adam on tomorrow, too. So, yeah.
And
so,
I go to the Improv tonight in Irvine. So I got to drive
8 o'clock.
Down there. Yeah. I'm doing my podcast down there at 6 o'clock. And then I've got to be on a flight tomorrow to Pittsburgh.
What's wrong with you?
You're a terrible planner.
I'm the worst.
You're just lucky you don't have a baby on top of all of
right?
this.
Right? Or a relationship or anything
I know,
like
can
that.
Can you imagine if I had a
right.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait a minute. I have an infant.
I do. I haven't this week, though. My wife took the baby to her parents, and it's been – when she left, I dropped her off at the airport. It was just like when I dropped my parents off when they would go on vacation. I was in high school. I was like,
"You're like,
I'm gonna party so hard," and I was like, "And I'm not gonna have to refill the liquor bottles now."
Eddie, it's a real honor for you, I'm sure. You feel this way. I would, to be asked to be on the final week of Loveline. I mean, it is an institution
really
for decades. And just working with Dr. Drew is so much fun. He's the smartest person I've ever met in my life, and it's always fun to talk to him. But you've also co-hosted it multiple times in the past as well, right?
Yeah, I've been on the show, and I got to say, working with Dr. Drew is it's really amazing, but it's also really bad because I cower around him because I was telling him this last night. I feel like he's judgmental because he's like knows everything.
Right.
So I'm just worried about everything I say that he's looking at me like, I see what went there. That had something to do with your father. Mm-hmm. And
he's always judging your childhood.
Yeah. And I'm like, so I'm worried about everything that comes out of my mouth around him. And I'm like, he just saw through me there. And he knows I'm embellishing. So it's really, it's weird. And you also think he knows everything.
He does.
So you just look at him like, okay.
He doesn't need you.
So to be perfect, Dr. Drew, what else should I do?
Yeah.
But what's great.
Bean and I have both hosted Loveline, and you do the same thing. You take the call, and then you look at Drew.
Yeah.
Because he has the answer.
Because when I answer, he looks at me like, stop. Stop answering because this person needs help, Eddie. You're sending them down the wrong road.
You know? Right.
I feel like every answer I give is wrong.
Well, that's because every answer you give is wrong. That's why you feel that way.
But I'm using, like, my common sense, and then Dr. Drew's like, no, Eddie, that's not right. And I'm like, maybe you should take my daughter.
You look at the choices that Eddie has made. If you've ever listened to his podcast and seen the people that he surrounds himself with, you realize he's not a guy that should be given advice for anybody.
No, you have no idea. So Jason, you know, my sidekick that I've been with for 5 years, who's quit 40 times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You make him miserable.
I make him miserable. I understand that, but I do it for a reason.
Right.
We are so close to the finish line. We've got producers, an executive producer. We're developing the show right now. We're about to shoot the pilot presentation, and he wants to quit. And I'm like, you're on the 25th mile of a marathon, and you're like, I'm done. And he.
But doesn't that tell you something about the poor kid?
It tells you something about me.
Right. Both.
Yeah.
Both. It's like this is about to happen. So no, thank you.
He announces last week that not only is his girlfriend pregnant, but she's not his girlfriend. She's his wife now.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That's a bomb.
And you didn't know any of that.
No, because I would have done a Kickstarter instead for the bus for a vasectomy to make sure he couldn't give birth.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that seems all bad.
It is bad because a lot of the stuff we do are stunts to him, and I can't, with a good conscience, do it anymore.
But you will.
No, I don't know if I will. It's hard.
Really?
It's hard to do the stuff that I did being a father myself.
Yeah.
Knowing that there's a family there.
Right.
Because I used to, like, if he had a job, I would, like, tell the listeners to Yelp where he worked and get him fired.
Rotten.
And I can't do those things anymore.
Well, you could. You would just be a worse person.
Right. Yeah.
But
right,
it would
right.
still be entertaining.
Maybe even more.
So, Eddie, your vision is to do a TV show about you guys in the bus? That's what you're working on?
The show basically is we are doing the show about the show. So it's about how we try to do this variety show on a bus where we take it around the country to different events and different places.
And you shoot porn in it, right?
Every
in the bus.
I took it to get fixed, and the guy said, I don't want to touch the seats. And I went, no, we don't shoot porn in this. There have been porn stars in here.
Sure.
But we don't shoot porn. So it's kind of like a Wayne's World, you know, or like a Larry Sanders Show meets Wayne's World.
Okay.
And it's a behind the scenes of a horrible, awful podcast that goes around and it's mobile. And that's the crazy thing.
Right.
Like we have to basically kidnap our guests.
Right.
That seems bad.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just so we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I like it. Eddie Ift is going to be at the Improv tonight at improv.com. This is the Irvine location, on stage at 8 o'clock tonight. Tickets are available on sale right now. More other guests right after this on K-Rock. Eddie Ift in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, at the Irvine Improv tonight. Just $20. Tickets on sale now. Improv.com to see Eddie on stage at 8 o'clock. Eddie is one of the best comedians working today. He is a two-time superstar. What's going on? What's happening?
Eddie put on the wrong headphones, and then he was trying to figure out why he couldn't hear anything.
Uh-huh.
And then Chip had to go over and show him, no, not those headphones, these headphones.
The ones that were on your mic.
The fun we have on
radio. Sweet spirit.
I was trying to compliment you by saying that you are a two-time superstar of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, and I know we haven't seen you since this year's appearance, but thank you again, Eddie, for doing that show. And
wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've done it three times.
Oh, I thought it was only twice. Three times?
Yeah, the one time wasn't very memorable.
I guess you worked very good that time.
Yeah.
The one time I had to close it, the hard spot.
Yeah,
and that was great.
And then...
That was a weird year because nobody wanted to close.
That was the year I flew home from Australia to do
it. Yes, that's
and
right.
And then flew back to Australia.
And then we had the uncomfortable conversation of Eddie... Seriously, would you just?
Yeah.
Would you? And he's like, "Yeah, I'll close.
No, if I ever do it again, I'll close it.
You will?
Yeah, I've done it so many times now that I'm not afraid.
All right,
it's one of those things where it's like I enjoy. There used to be a club in San Diego that was like the hardest club in the world, and it was. I'm not saying it was beneath me, but it was something you do when you're kind of an open micer,
right?
And I used to go do it. Like once a year, and people would go, why are you doing that gig?
Yeah, just for the challenge.
And I would go, it's the practice. Like, I like, because you never know when you're going to get in a tough situation in stand up. Sometimes things go wrong and you have to be prepared.
Right.
So I would go do this gig. So I went down to do it. My friend's like, you're insane. And I'm like, no, come with me. It's great. So I went down to do it. It was this pub called Moondoggy's Pub down in San Diego. So I'm doing the gig. I was getting booed by the entire audience, and he goes, my friend said to me, he goes, it was amazing how you got a standing ovation at the end. And he goes, you said to the audience, I'm not leaving until every one of you stands up.
Eddie, I wanted to ask you about that. Is it sometimes the audience's fault, or is it always the responsibility of the performer to do the hard work to make the folks who paid the money have a good time?
I'd say 97% of the time it's the comedian's fault if it goes wrong. But every once in a while, there's some type of weird group thought that is going on.
Still? Or have you pretty much seen almost everything?
I'd say 97% of the time, it all works out.
You just walk out on stage and you feel this crowd is not with me.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to do something, and you try everything, and sometimes nothing works. One time I went on stage in Tampa, and like the first thing I said, some guy screamed out, you're in, you know, AH, like,
right.
well, I was, and I didn't realize I hadn't watched the guy before me, and he had done a series of jokes, and they had all basically made fun of something that hurt this guy's feelings, and then my first joke was about the same subject. So
okay.
it was 1 hour of me apologizing and trying to win this guy
did
back
you ever
over.
Earlier in your career, did you ever just give up and walk off? Just say,
there's always a thing about in comedy when I started, it was kind of like fighting. Like you don't ever walk off the stage.
Right.
You do your time. You never like
that's what you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to do that. And I was at a community college out in Long Island where they were cutting open with knives the cushioning in the chairs and pulling the foam out
throwing
it at me. Cups. At one point, a folding chair came flying at the stage. And
you don't ever just go, this isn't worth it.
They were going, get the F off the stage, like grabbing at my ankles. And I just kept the people that booked the show were yelling, get off.
Wow.
And I –
that's harsh.
It's a great story. I'll have to tell you the real facts offline. But the woman was going, get off the stage. And I kept going, am I getting paid? Because I was only about 4 minutes in.
Right.
Oh,
and
right. That's a good question.
She said, yes. And I said, let me see the check. And she said, it's in the office. I said, go get it. And I took like 10 more minutes of beating.
So it's a hostage situation.
Yeah, pretty much.
I took 10 more minutes of beating.
And I hummed. I hummed into the microphone. Just, and the audience was
just in defiance,
screaming. And I was going, you, and I kept saying to them, you have no idea how much money I'm making. And I was taunting them. And had to rush me out the back door. And the kid that drove me to the train station was going the whole way there. He was drunk driving me.
Good.
And I was telling him to slow down. And he was like, he's like, you suck. He's like, you're not funny at all. And I was like, can you just let me out? I'll walk. He's like, if I let you out, they're going to kill you.
So Eddie, let me ask you this, because you're a comedian, so you have a way of looking at everything and seeing the humor in it. While you were on stage being bombarded by that audience, were you able to already see how funny it was going to be afterwards and a week later and a year later and all these years later to have that story in your back pocket?
I don't know. I think most times I do now, but I think at that point my adrenaline was going and it was fight or flight and I was in fight.
Right.
I wasn't in flight yet. Once it kind of occurred to me how dangerous it was, it became flight. But I was scared before the show because when I went to – I should preface. These were thugs. Like this was like Hennessy and, you know, like I was in gang territory. And when I went in, there was a guy at the security said to me, who are you? Because I was there early. And I said, I'm the comedian. And he goes, I quit. And I went, what? He goes, I'm not working. If you're the comedian, I'm not. Like he knew.
He knew how south that was going to go for you?
On the train ride out. Tony Woods, I ran into him, who's a very funny comedian from New York. I told him where I was going. He was like, don't go. He's like, that's worse than the Apollo. He's like, they're going to kill you. He's
so this was a predominantly black crowd, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there anything about your material that there was a reason why they didn't like you?
Well, this
you
is
come
why
out there wearing a Confederate flag hat or something.
Talk about this off.
Okay, I see. Well, so there may be more to the story.
I was the intermission during an auction. They did one of those auction off dates.
They weren't selling people, were they?
Well, dates. You know, the colleges do that a lot. This was at a college, and there was a – the guys were taking their shirts off and doing push-ups backstage and oiling up and coming out and, like, dancing, and the girls would bid on them, and then the girls would come out and do these striptease kind of acts.
Did you look at that and go, no. This is a terrible idea for me.
No, I looked at the FUBU shirts and the Timberlands, and I knew I was in trouble at that point. I was like, this is going to – this is not my crowd. And I do really well in urban – and I've done BET's Comic View. I've done all these shows. I'm fine. Like
now.
I just knew this was a particularly – it had nothing to do with it was black. It was – if this was a white crowd, I would have known it was a dangerous crowd too.
Right. Right. There was a supercharged atmosphere that was not right for comedy.
And,
I understand.
And so what went wrong was there was there was this one girl that went up and did like a striptease act. Like she was a stripper.
Right.
And I don't think she was a student. And she just made the room crazy.
Right.
And she was like putting whipped cream on this guy and licking him. And guys were going crazy and bidding on her like crazy.
And then
she was the only white – she was the only other white person there. She was the white – and they're going crazy. And then they're like, now our comedian.
Oh, man.
And I went, no, not now. And they were
let
like,
the stripper keep working.
Yeah. I was like, wrong place in the show. And as soon as I walked on stage,
of course.
And I, you know, tried some jokes, and then someone hit me with a cup. And when they hit me with the cup, I go, oh, you're going to throw something at me? Go ahead. I dare you. Throw something
you're
at me.
You're an idiot.
And then the chair.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Everybody starts chanting, Jerry.
Yeah, it was a lot like that. And it was – I remember calling my agent from a payphone. This is how long ago it was. I called him from a payphone, and I think I beeped him. I paged him to call me back from this number. And I said, before the show started, I said, I'm coming home. I'm not doing the show. He said, why not? I said, this just does not look like a safe – like they – Tony Woods warned me. He said Ralph Harris, who's a great comedian. Ralph got like roughed up on stage. Like you're – and I wasn't the caliber of Tony or Ralph.
Right.
I was a new comic. I didn't have the skills that they had. And I was like, I'm going to die.
You're going into the octagon at this point.
Yeah. It was, you know, if you've ever watched the Apollo, some of the best comics in the world die on the Apollo. Yeah. And usually they don't air. And that was the big joke is that you, on that TV show, you just go dirty and then they can't air it. because you don't want to be the guy that was booed off.
But this ended up being one of the most memorable nights of your whole comedy career.
Yeah,
right?
Probably the most memorable.
Yeah.
In fact, I've heard comics tell the story about it, and they'll tell it to me about this comic that this happened to. And I'll go, you got that story wrong. They're like, what do you know?
How do you know?
I was standing there while it was happening.
I can't believe we've never heard that story before. All the times we've had. That's awesome.
The best part about the story is the stripper gave me her phone number on the way out, and she was like, "You gonna hang out?" I'm like, "Did you see what just happened? Did you? There's a riot!"
Yeah, but they love her,
and she's like, "Yeah." And
everybody loved her,
and she goes, "Oh yeah, that was some BS." And I'm like, "No, that was. I'm gonna die. Goodbye." And I'm like, "It's all your fault." But she gave me her number, and her name was Heaven. And
sure.
So
like it is.
Cut to like 3 months later. I'm at my grandfather's funeral on the way there. And
what is going to happen in this story?
Heaven is going to happen.
I mean.
Heaven is going to happen.
We're driving in my dad's car, and I'm like smushed in the car. I have a big family. There's like five kids. I don't know how many of us were in this car with my dad. But at the time, also in New York, I lived with my sister for a long time. And I was living with my sister, and it was back when there were answering machines. And we're driving from like the church to the cemetery or whatever, and my sister goes to check the voicemail on our phone
and it's Heaven?
On speaker in the car, and it goes, "Hi Eddie, this is Heaven, the stripper you met out at that college in Long Island."
That's pretty sweet.
And then the whole car is looking at me, and the final line is, "I'm just returning your call."
Oh man. But wouldn't Grandpa have been so proud, Eddie?
Pap was high-fiving me from the grave.
That is outstanding. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time. The great Eddie F., ladies and gentlemen. EddieF.com is the website, on Twitter, at his name, Eddie F. You can see him tonight on stage at the Improv. Tickets are just $20. Don't throw things at him. Don't rip up the couch, okay? 18 and over. Buy your tickets at improv.com. Have a great time
tonight,
Eddie.
Thanks, guys.
Pleasure, sir.
Thank you so much.
That was a lot of fun with Eddie F. It's always good to catch up with that dude.
Yes, he's
had a life, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
He is something else. All right. Ralph is here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Oh, just worry about Susan Boyle. That's all.
Susan Boyle?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's going on with her?
Susan Boyle.
Trouble?
Trouble, yeah. She was at Heathrow Airport last Monday in the UK, and officials then received reports of a distressed woman in the British Airways lounge just losing her mind, just melting down.
Uh-oh.
Security showed up, and there was Susan Boyle, winner of Britain's Got Talent, breakout star, just going off. Just
lost
total
it?
Total meltdown.
Oh, no.
She was taken against her will and hospitalized for evaluation.
We've heard that she is on medication. She does have some issues with being in public, some social phobias, right?
Well, her reps say it's difficult to deal with her because she has Asperger's syndrome. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can make it very difficult for people who have
I've
to deal with her on a
are
daily basis.
People around,
right? They suffer the most.
Those are the ones that suffer.
Correct.
It's like Raymond Reddington said in Blacklist. It's the collateral damage. It's the people around the bomber who get the worst of it.
Right.
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 So feel not for her, but feel for her team. That's what I would say regarding Susan Boyle. She was released and made her way back home to Scotland. And they're hoping she'll be able to rest up and feel better.
That seems
I hope
bad.
So, too.
Bet you do. You see her at the next meeting. Give her our best, won't you?
We don't have...
Is there an Asperger meeting?
There's no meeting. Yeah. No, there's no meeting.
Yeah, but they don't tell you where it's going to be. They just give you a map. You got to follow it, and there you are at Denny's, ordering the same meal that you get every time you go. Yeah. Yeah, definitely moons over my hammy. Uh-oh. Different fork. Definitely not my fork. Where's my waitress?
If you find
Tuesday,
a meal
it's Tuesday.
That you like, why not stick with it?
Uh-oh, definitely not Tuesday. Definitely can't eat Denny's. Uh-oh. Bumbershoot Music Festival happening again this summer in Seattle. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and Death Cab for Cutie are the headliners.
Both locals.
Billy Idol. Tame Impala, Third Eye Blind, and Fetty Wap also apparently set to perform. Dates for the concert event this year are September 2nd through the 4th. You can get all your info at bumbershoot.com.
Do you have to go to Seattle for that?
Sorry to say yes, Kevin. Yes, indeed you do.
Isn't that where all the killers live?
Yep, that's okay. Where all the serial killers are. And, of course, Bumbershoot, Kevin, is a... Bumbershoot is?
Is. Meme? I don't know. I don't even know what that is.
What's a Bumbershoot? That's what I'm asking you.
It's a vegetable.
No.
It's fruit.
No. A Bumbershoot
is a type of sandwich you have, which involves... I don't know what it is.
I want to hear what the sandwich involves.
Bumbershoots. I put them on the sandwich, and then you put some mayonnaise on it, and you're all good to go.
I'd like one of those right now. That sounds good.
I think a Bumbershoot on rye, please.
Right.
No, Bumbershoot is actually an umbrella. Another name for an umbrella.
An umbrella.
Yes.
Huh.
That you put in the little sandwich when it's ready to be eaten.
Yes. Cocktail umbrellas.
Right.
Little paper umbrella.
Here you go. Here's your sandwich. You put the umbrella.
Here's your Bumbershoot on top of it.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know either, Kevin.
You didn't know what a Bumbershoot was?
No. Who says Bumbershoot?
I bet Bean did.
I
bet Bean did.
Oh, I guarantee he knew.
Because that is a word from the 1800s.
Yeah. Was it a British term or did Americans say it?
I don't know where it came from.
It's a great question.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have known that if it hadn't been for the festival that led me
to
investigate why they called it Bumbershoot. And then, I mean, it was years ago, but I wouldn't have known about it if it weren't for the festival. I didn't know that word ahead of time.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We don't have Michael Strahan to kick around any longer, Kelly Ripa. You know, when Strahan announced he was going to Good Morning America, he was supposed to stay on Live for 4 months, and then in September, he was going to make the move.
Well, apparently things are a little frosty over there in the set.
And so they just announced, we're going to move the timetable up a little bit. May 15th will be Michael's last live. He's going to...
Why even go to May 15th?
Right? Just...
Sweeps. That's why. Sweeps.
Sweeps. Well,
sweeps are the whole month of May, though.
Month.
You're just repeating words
really?
Now,
yes, I am with ah in front of it. You're absolutely right. So I guess things are not as perhaps copacetic as she would have us believe yesterday when she made her little announcement at the beginning of the show. We were saying, Kevin, how it was kind of ridiculous that Kelly Ripa returned to work after having 2 days off to a standing ovation. And I said, imagine if we had to do that every time Kevin came back after 2 days off. Our hands would be sore from all the applause.
It should be, though.
We would be doing for Kevin. It should be. You should have got a standing
ovation
this morning when you showed up for work.
Thank you. It's my all-new Only Wednesday schedule.
I like it.
I like it.
It's Kevin Wednesday. We could have a new recurring segment, Kevin Wednesday.
Are there any names that you've heard for potential successors for Mr. Strahan?
Yes. Cliff.
Claven?
No,
just Cliff.
Any
just
names.
Cliff.
Just any names Cliff. I heard. I heard Cliff.
Farrah Abramson?
Farrah Abramson, I think, is also in the running. I heard the biggest contender, and this is who she wanted to replace Regis, is her dreamy husband,
her
Mark
husband, yes.
People have been saying that she's been giving little secret tips to people through books that she's carrying when the paparazzi catches her.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Code in her pictures? You are insane. You have insane theory every day.
Hold on.
It is not my theory.
I would like to hear it.
Yeah, what's the theory? What spy movie is she in?
What's the theory?
She's smuggling out messages from the titles of books she's carrying in pictures.
Why? Is she not allowed to see people or make phone calls anymore? She can only do Morse code with her eyelids?
Did she put something in a fortune cookie and leave it behind at a restaurant?
What are you talking about,
Allie? Some microfilm?
Say something, woman.
Ew.
Explain.
She apparently was carrying some book while she was not at the show when she was boycotting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what that book was. I will look it up because it was all over the trades. Like, is she trying to tell executives something? Then yesterday she was caught randomly just carrying, so the title was showing, Anderson Cooper's new book, who has been rumored that he is the one that she wants for the show. So people are like, is she giving us another sign? These are actual articles.
Jewish men are
not
asking us
yes,
that question.
A man named Maury walking down the
is
street.
She giving us another sign?
Exactly
I need
what
to know
happened.
What Kelly's thinking.
These
Maybe
are...
Anderson Cooper has a new book out and she's reading it.
Right.
Well, why?
Could that be a secret? Could that be part of the secret cabal?
I think she's well aware that she was holding a book the first time, and it became big news, apparently to nobody in this room but me.
Okay.
And then she's like, oh, let me carry this one. And now it's Anderson's book.
She's not allowed to talk to anyone. She can't do interviews. The only way she can express herself.
Do you randomly, when you know you're going to be caught by the paparazzi, are you just carrying a book so you can show the title of the book? No.
That's what we're saying. That's why we're saying it's a ridiculous theory.
No, you're all wrong.
She's just reading a book and she's carrying it to the next place she's
going
to be reading.
Ralph, that's ridiculous.
No. Nope. No.
Jeez, do you have to hide the title of what you're reading every time you're out in public?
Nobody carries books around, is what I'm saying.
Wow, that is awfully suspicious.
Everything is calculated.
Yeah,
look it up. Open up a blog.
Open up a blog.
I want a recurring Allie's Theory segment.
Ripacosta stir last week when she held a copy of David and Goliath amid drama with ABC. She then returned to co-hosting with Michael Strahan and was seen carrying the book The Rainbow Comes and Goes, Anderson Cooper's book. It's news.
You know what the one thing it isn't?
News.
I like it, though.
Oh, Kelly? Yeah. Kelly's calling to say, you're right, Allie. You're right, Allie. That is what I'm doing. It's all very calculated. I'm sorry you saw through it.
Celebrity birthdays today. Jenna Coleman, actress from Doctor Who, of course, 30 years old today. She's going on to play Queen Victoria, I believe, in a new series over there in the UK.
I can't wait.
Yes, you can. Patrick Stump, Fallout Boy singer, is 32. And Ace Frehley, guitarist for Kiss, of course, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Adam Carolla joins us to talk about co-hosting the last night of Loveline on K-Rock. We also have Anton Yelchin, I believe, for Green Room. We have Jim Rome talking sports. And we have brand-new music from Blink-182 at 7:15 tomorrow morning.